listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
The snowflakes cover my ears. Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, and I'm coming to you live from my residence here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting through the facilities of People's Internet Radio, being simulcast on ShakenWakeRadio.com, also being heard on the Truth Be Told Radio Network. Thanks for joining the show, and as always, guys, I start the show off a little plug for the station because we are viewer-supported. If you like what they're trying to do and some of the programming we put forward, maybe reach in your back pocket and throw us a cup of coffee. And they'd sure appreciate even that. Even though it's just a little bit, it all adds up. So thanks, and always like to start the show off thanking my producer because I forget to do it at the end. Steve, for putting up with me every week and helping me out. I would be lost if it wasn't for this man, so I much appreciate what he does for me every week. Anyways, I was supposed to have Kevin Johnson in here. Kevin was up in Dawson Creek, British Columbia. They left this morning at about 9 o'clock. Was going to be on the highway, was all ready for the show, and we're having a bit of a hard time finding him right now. He might be just out of cell service. We'll try him again here in a few minutes. If not, my buddy Steve has just said, Barry, let's have a talk. And I said, well, you know what? I appreciate that, Steve. And what would you like to talk about to maybe put a little humor into people's days right now? And I said, well, let's talk about Joe Biden's press conference.
Let's talk about creepy Uncle Joe, huh?
Oh, buddy, I'll tell you, I watch it. Joe, I mean, it's really painful for me to watch these guys. You know, I thought up here in Canada, folks, I thought we had it bad with Justin Trudeau. I really did. I mean, you just can't get any worse than that. But what you folks are putting up with down there right now is, it has to be a movie. Hey, Steve, it really has to be a movie because it can't be real life. That they can't really be allowing this guy to have any kind of power in the United States of America. I mean, it's beyond a joke. It really is. The guy is completely brain dead.
Well, you know.
We know what's going on, Steve. We know that Carmella is just sitting in the wings right now, licking her lips. Going, go, Joe, go, Joe, go.
It's not about Kamala. It's not about creepy Uncle Joe. It's not about Trump at this point. It's about us. It's about them thinking that we are virtually retarded to believe in it. I'm not the greatest tech guy in the world, but I do some green screen stuff, Barry, as you know, on my YouTube videos. And I've done this for about, the green screen for better part of 5 years now. Been doing a couple hundred videos on YouTube that I got with green screen. I know what the effects are. I mean, I'm not the greatest tech guy like I just mentioned, but I know what I'm doing a little bit, and I know what fakery and trickery looks like when it's on a video right in front of your face. And, you know, at this point, it's about them thinking that we are retarded.
Yeah, they sure don't give us any credit for having any kind of intelligence, do they, Steve?
No.
I watch these videos, and it's a joke. It really is. I mean, you think that with the amount of technology these guys have, they could do a little bit better job. The one I saw the other day the microphone is overlapping his hand. It's obviously green screen. And
yes.
I've seen three. I don't know how many I've seen. I think I've seen three that I could say for sure were green screen so far of his so-called talks. They don't even want this guy talking to the pressmen. They just, if they could put him away in a room and have him not seen at all, and that would work with the American people, they'd be doing it because he's a detriment. Every time he opens his mouth, he's just completely lost for words. It's sad to see that, you know, they're allowing this to go on. But like I said, it's about us, of course, Steve, but we know that the plan is for Carmella. I think I'm hoping I'm pronouncing her
Kamala.
Pronouncing her Carmella. Okay.
Carmella, whatever.
Pronounce that. Yeah, okay. You know who I'm talking
the hooker.
About. The girl. The lady.
The high-priced hooker.
The lady in the purple dress. That's all we need to know, right?
The high-priced hooker.
There's nothing about the color purple, is there, Steve? And she wears it. She's got purple underwear on, that lady, man, I'll tell you. Anyways. she's just licking her lips right now, waiting to step in. And boy, if they allow that to go forward, who's going to be her vice president, Steve? Who do you think she'll call for vice president? Who do you think? Your guess. This is your turn.
Who would I think?
Yeah, who would you think she'd pick for a vice president?
Probably the San Fran Grand Man.
Nancy.
Nancy, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what she called herself one time. San Fran Grand Man.
I really think that's the plan. Then you'll have Nancy and Carmella running the United States of America.
And then they'll bring...
Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding?
Wanted to get rid of Trump?
They'll bring Hillary back and put her in the in Nancy's seat, and she'll take both of them out.
we shouldn't laugh about it because it's sad. I mean, look at what's going on. Look what's going on at your border right now, Steve. I've been watching some of the reports on that, and it's just chaos, man. Absolute chaos, and it's really on the children, which is the worst part about it all. I watched another report this morning on it, and it's tragic. It really is, and it's completely avoidable. But this is exactly what Joe Biden wants to do to the United States of America. I think it's going to have to get really bad down there before people start standing up against him, Steve.
Yeah, you know, as I mentioned, it's not about Joe at this time. It's about the handlers, as George called them, Carlin called them, the owners of America and the world.
Well, of course, Joe's. I mean, his levels of intelligence, he couldn't put together a plan if his life depended on it. So we know he's being controlled. Everything he's being told to do, he's doing, he's trying to do. But it's really at a point now where the American public is going, like, who is this lunatic? I tried to listen to that press conference, man, and that was painful. It's absolutely painful to listen to.
Yes, it was.
Oh, Kevin Johnson's calling me on the phone right now. Let me just answer this, okay, Steve?
Sure.
And we'll try calling him in.
Yeah, well, I passed a video, and I think Slim said he passed the same video or a similar one or whatever. But what we're talking about is creepy Uncle Joe supposedly walks out of the White House.
Okay, dial him. Call him, Batman. He's ready.
Call him in.
He's got some bars now on his cell phone. He apologized. I figure that's what we're doing. We're going to be joined by Kevin Johnson
Here
in a second, folks.
I need the number one more time again, please.
Steve, hang on. I got to go look for it, man. Hang on. Okay, hang on. It is 647-613-6900. I'm glad this is amateur radio, man, because if we were getting paid for this, we'd be fired.
Right.
But we are amateurs, so we can get away with just about anything.
It is ringing him.
Yes.
Yellow.
Hello.
It's Kevin Day Johnson.
Barry, how are you?
Good. Well, we've been trying to call you, buddy. We figured you were dead. You were hitting a dead spot for your phone, but on the highway right now, I take it.
Yeah, we're heading south. What town is next there, boys?
White Court.
White Court's next. So we're just north of White Court.
Okay. Well, maybe you could stop at White Court and have a coffee.
Well, that might be an idea.
There you go.
By the way, are we live right now or what?
Yeah, we are on the air right now, Kevin. And
would you look at that?
Welcome to the show, of course. Always good to have you back in. We've been watching, of course, the whole country kind of watching what was going up in Dawson Creek there. Quite a shabaka. Tell us about jail in Dawson Creek. Did they treat you?
Oh my!
Did they treat you good?
Yeah. Well, first Sorry off, I think a lot of you saw the story that we were actually taking a quick personal inventory of everything that we had, and between Derek, myself, and Lonnie in the minivan, we realized that we only had one bar of soap, which was a half used bar of soap from a hotel that I grabbed about 3 years ago. And I did tell the boys, I am not going to share the crotch area with the two of you. Let's get some soap. So that is all we wanted to do was grab some. And we suggested Walmart. I said, no, the parking lot was full. And the same thing with Shoppers Drug Mart. We found a very empty parking lot at No Frills, which also had a dollar store attached to it. So the logic is, if the No Frills will not let us buy soap, perhaps the dollar store will. And we went into No Frills. They have a young girl there, probably 15 or 16, who insists that you wear a mask, reads out the Riot Act that it's mandatory. We all said medical. There's no such thing as mandatory mask wearing in Canada. Thank you. And carried on. Found the soap. I have a personal affinity for Irish Spring. And we wanted to buy it. And that's when all the cashiers, all teenage girls, decided to swarm us and insisted that we leave. They would not serve us, and they wouldn't let us give our money to the owner. And that's when I realized, okay, you know what? This is going to get stupid. I dropped a $5 bill on the express desk and decided to walk out with the soap, and they kept telling me, you're not leaving with that. So the one cashier who thought the whole thing was very funny grabbed at me and actually made contact, so that's the soap. But she also tried to steal my property, which is mischief. And the owner comes out, Dave, who then gets a little bit butthurt, let's be honest here, because he was trying to act tough in front of all these young girls that he has a militant control over in his shop, and we didn't go for it. And we left the store. After he assaulted me, he tried to grab my property too, so that's assault and mischief. We walk out, and instead of him staying in the store and carrying on with his life, he decides that he wants to come outside and give us a difficult time. He wants our license plate number now. Because we knew what would happen. We knew that he would file a false police report for assault or battery or theft. We knew that. Which is why I had to get myself between him and the license plate, because it's a borrowed vehicle. And that's when he slaps me in the hand and I drop my cell phone, which is no longer working properly. And I defended myself because this guy has already now assaulted me twice. And one of his staff has assaulted me once. I have to put an end to this. I have the right to defend myself. So I gave him a very light right hook. And he steps back and he's all bewildered. And he says, you hit me. And then starts swearing at me. You can watch the video for yourselves. He uses the F word a few times, which he's allowed to do. And that's when I told him, do it again. Hit me again. And he wouldn't. He walked away in that coward's position where he's got his body turned away from me, but he's looking at me. And I realized, you know what? This guy's not even worth my time. We're going to leave. But then he has a kid with him who's also doing some filming, who lays the claim that she got it. So what would happen here is the girl that was filming, I knew at that particular point this girl who's filming was going to jump onto video editing software and delete out Dave assaulting me and just make the statement that I assaulted him.
Right.
And that's when we decided, you know what? We got to call the cops. We're going to call the police now. Lonnie gets on the phone to call the police, and Dave is already on the phone with the police. And I say, you know, I've had enough of this, actually. Now that I'm thinking about this, I've got this guy on mischief and two counts of assault. I'm going to make a citizen's arrest, which I did. And it was legal, fully procedural. Even my criminal lawyer said that everything was fine. Another member of his store comes out, and he assaults me, for God's sake, on camera. So I arrested him. And that is when the RCMP shows up. This hot shot gets out of his car. You're under arrest. Put your hands behind your back. Not, hi, I'm Officer Jones or Officer Smith, RCMP, detachment number, whatever, badge number, whatever.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I ask what's happening here? He could have been a man about it. Instead, he was a teenage boy about it. Because he's got the gun and the body armor in the car, and he can, on a moment's notice, make a phone call and have a whole army out if he wants. And I'm not going to hit this guy. I'm not going to be belligerent. I'm just going to tell him, I've just made two citizens' arrests. Will you take them into custody? Now, you guys can watch for yourselves how impatient this guy is. He did not read me my rights, did not tell me I was under investigation, did not tell me what I was being arrested for. And after I've asked him six or seven times, like, will you arrest this man? He's got me in handcuffs, and I'm still holding on to my bar of soap, I might add, in my hands. And I realize, okay, I'm going to jail for at least 36 hours, most likely. And that's when I decided, because I've got these two bars of soap in my hand, I'm going to drop the soap before I go to jail. So I yell out, Lonnie, here, take the soap. Right? So I throw the soap out of my hands that are handcuffed behind my back. How ridiculous is it to be in handcuffs, holding soap? All right. So the guy tells me, I asked him, could you please loosen these handcuffs? Because first off, he's throwing me in the back of the truck. But he also put his hand on my testicles and mashed my testicles as he pushed me into the truck. They hurt. They actually hurt for quite a while. And I did ask him, could could you please loosen the cuffs? You put them on incorrectly. And they've actually cut my skin now. No, because you're a jerk. I'm thinking, all right, let's just get to the station and we'll see what they do there. Now I'm in the station and they actually take the cuffs off. So I'm standing there. I said, okay, first off, guys, just so you know, I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to hit you. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to give you a difficult time, and I'll follow your instructions. He says, yeah, I know. He goes, name. I said, I go by Cal, and he says, no, your name. I said, well, I've got a moniker. I got to give you that first. My name is Calgary Mayor-elect Kevin J. Johnston, just like I say in public. And all of a sudden, he goes from name to, oh. And she face palms. No, they're screwed up. Anyway, he still has not read my rights. And I demand to see a lawyer because he says, you know, you're here, you're under arrest, you understand? I said, guys, no, I comprehend nothing. I want to talk to a lawyer. Later. At that particular point, the RCMP, they have a belligerent bastard who's hopped up on drugs to be like very professional people. So I find myself wondering, like, why are you guys so behind closed doors and so belligerent in public? It doesn't make any sense.
I watched the video of that cop, Kevin, and the guy was on steroids. I mean, you're correct. I mean, he didn't make any kind of investigation. He got out of his vehicle and told you were under arrest before even asking questions at the scene. So he obviously had been talking to Dave, and Dave gave him the lowdown. You guys are really bad, really, really loud noise, buddy. I don't know what's going on. Wow. They're obviously having problems. That's not going to sound like that's going to work.
They dropped. Their signal probably dropped.
Yeah, maybe Kevin will be able to pull over in White Court if he's close to White Court, and they can get a stable platform so we can get a little bit of a show in with him before the hour is up. But sounds like he's having problems, so they're getting a seal service.
Yeah,
where he is.
Well,
but I did want to hear the story. But you know, I watched that video of the cop, Steve, and this guy really was just an absolute cop on steroids. You know, he's an RCMP that give the RCMP really, really bad names. This guy was complete, total police state. No questions asked. You were under arrest. Not how the law works. Go ahead.
You do know that they actually believe that they have powers and authority. They're told.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, they're told that.
Well, they're on a power trip. They're on a power trip. They are.
I believe
they
that they
know the power they have.
They have the, what's that called? The litmus test. And, whoops, there he is. There he is. He's back. Let's see.
Okay.
All right.
Let's see if we can get him back in again.
Are you back?
Hey, we're back. I heard everything you said up until the word, it got loud. And then it just died. I got three bars now. Go ahead.
Okay, are we going to be able to keep on three bars, or are you guys going to continue driving? There's Kevin. Maybe take. Are you close to a coffee shop? Because it's really.
I hope
buddy.
So.
It's really.
I really hope so. Is it? Are you hearing background noise? Is that what it is?
Yeah, we're getting a bit of background noise for sure. Vehicles. I can hear that vehicle going by right now.
All right.
Yeah.
The problem is there's nowhere to stop. We got a whole bunch of snow plows out here that we don't want to get hit by or plowed over top of by.
Yeah, you guys are getting a bit of a storm right now, aren't you, Kevin?
It's starting to come in and it's going sideways. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was watching the weather forecast there for Calgary, and you're supposed to get a really nasty storm coming in today, buddy. And you're driving right into it. So
that's exactly why we left a little bit earlier today. We wanted to try to beat this thing if we could.
Yeah, no, it's a nasty one. I was going, holy smokes, these guys are going to be driving right back into it. But anyways, Kevin, that was quite an adventure in Dawson Creek, B.C.
Oh, it certainly was. And the media immediately come out and begin the slandering. So we found that about 50% of town loved what I did, 50% of town hated what I did. But it didn't. It wasn't going to stop us. What I'll say is this. I was treated fairly inside the jail. So I was not abused in any way. And people were commenting to me privately that when they saw me live the next day when I got out on my podcast, that my hands looked red and bruised, which they were. But I did say that was not from the RCMP. That was me warming my knuckles up on the bricks inside my jail cell. I got a light workout in. So I warmed my fists up and my palms and my hands just by doing shadow boxing. So for those who were curious about why my hands were black, it was not the RCMP. It was me just working out. Okay.
Now,
I always tell the truth about this stuff.
Maybe you can give me a little insight into your show tomorrow night, Kevin.
No. Just watch it. No.
Okay.
It's great. No.
No. What's the title? I saw the banner and I'm going, maybe I can get Kevin to talk about this.
No. Here's what I'm going to say to everybody. All right. The RCMP have shut down their detachment where I was held overnight. That's all I'm saying. Tomorrow night's show runs from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Calgary time, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Vancouver time, 9 to 11 Toronto time. On twitch.tv/KevinJJohnston. Watch it. You're going to cry with laughter when you hear everything I've got to say.
I was hoping to get the scoop on it, but I can understand why I'm not going to get the scoop. Folks, you're going to have to tune in tomorrow night and hear it from the lion's mouth himself. Wow,
there
getting loud again. Getting loud again. That's better.
Okay.
Well, this is the first time I've ever done a show with you when you're on the road driving down the highway, Kevin.
Noticed about Alberta is the vast distance between everywhere. You see, living in Mississauga, look at it this way. If you look at the Google map, if you start at the American border in Fort Erie, where Buffalo is, you drive slightly north into Niagara Falls, then you go west and you've got St. Catharines, Grimsby, Stony Creek, Hamilton, Burlington, Oakville, Mississauga, Toronto, Scarborough, Markham, what else? Pickering, Oshawa, and Deseronto. You've got towns, like this unbroken landscape of towns and cities. But in Alberta, if we got to do anything, we have to get in the car and make a 3-hour commitment no matter where we go. It's just different here.
Well, it is.
And where you are, it's a 12-hour commitment. So.
Yeah, I wish you guys could get up here, Kevin. Because actually, maybe this summertime when the ocean's full of fish and we get out in the ocean and do a day on the ocean, we'll get you up here a couple of days. Mike Kennedy's already said he'll pay the tab to get you guys up here. How's that?
Well, you tell Mike that I'll be there. Just understand there are two things that I enjoy, but I suck at. One is golf, and the other is fishing. I'm not a very good fisherman. I get that. But Barry, if you got some tips, I can't wait to hear them.
Well, let's put it this way, Kevin. I've been fishing the ocean for about 40 years now, so off and on. Probably about 15 years steady, where I was fishing the ocean all the time. So I'm pretty sure I can find you some fish, buddy. And I would show you an experience. I'd show you an experience like you've never had before in your life. There's nothing like the ocean, buddy. Nothing like it. We lost him again.
Oh, no.
Okay, now we got him back. Do we have him back, or do we lose him again?
We're back. I'm back. I'm talking.
Okay. Anyways, we will get you out in the ocean, Kevin, guaranteed.
Okay. Count me in. I should learn how to cast properly.
No, we're going to go out and get you a big halibut, man. Big halibut.
Excellent. Good.
Although we're limited on them.
We'll measure it exactly to the millimeter so I can brag about how big the fish was. Because for some reason, everybody has to take a photo with a tank in their hand. I may as well join the trend.
Well, you know, Kevin, fishermen don't lie. You know that, eh? That we're the most honest people in the whole world. That we never exaggerate.
I heard that.
We never tell stories, okay?
I heard that not supposed to be by a fisherman, so it's true.
Have you ever fished the ocean in your life, Kevin?
Well, I've never fished for ocean water, but see, the thing that I look at this, I can't see a boat drinking beer.
Blue.
Fish. much rather hit the waves at 75 miles an hour than I would sit and fish. But, Barry, I would be in great company with you, so I will sit in the boat and watch you drink beer while I drink club soda and fish and enjoy it. I'm sure I will.
Well, Kevin, I haven't drank a beer now in about 40-some-odd years, so you don't have to worry about me drinking beer. There might be a couple of aromas roaming around the boat, you know, here and there, but that's about as far as it'll go, buddy.
Hey, no worries. I'll still watch you drink it. How's that sound?
There you go.
And I will still cast the line, and I will still try and catch a halibut.
Well, hey, you know what, Kevin, if you, like I said, if you've never been out in the ocean, it's an experience because it's not just the fish. We set traps for crab. We'll set prawn traps on the way out to go fishing. So at the end of the day, we're picking up prawns, we're picking up crab. If the season is right, we're catching, you know, two or three different varieties of salmon. And, of course, I have some really killer halibut spots out there that we'll go in and we'll get a halibut. You can only keep them up to about 50 pounds now. There is a size and weight restriction on halibut because anything over 50 pounds is going to be a female. So we don't want to kill the females because they pump out little baby halibut. So it's a good thing. Back in the day, we were bringing in 200-pounders, buddy. Never do that again. But we'll have you out. We'll definitely have you out. You're definitely breaking up a lot, Kevin.
I apologize for that. No one in your town yet. At all. So we're going to be looking for somewhere to stop, I'm sure.
Yeah, you need to, because I'm getting about a third of your words right now, my friend.
All right, it's unfortunate, and I do apologize for that. But,
it is what it is. I know you're on the road. So if you can stop, like where you are right now, you've got strong signal. If you can stop somewhere where you have a signal for about, we're only got another 20 minutes anyways, Kevin, and the hour will be up. So.
Right. Well, I'll say this. We're actually looking for a side road here in a position where we can actually hit the brakes. I mean, the road right now has 2 inches of sleet on it. So
I'm
going to leave. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what we're doing here. We're being as careful as we can.
Yeah.
But let's get back to the whole cop thing for a second. The media was absolutely responsible for bringing all the bad feeling into town that they did. I gave a speech in the park right beside the Alaska sign, the Alaska Highway sign, the big tourist one that you pop into. But I found that the people that were not paying attention to the mainstream media were very happy to see me, Derek, and Lonnie. They were very happy to see us. And a few of them yelled from their cars saying that they, you know, you're racist and so on, whatever it might be. But we almost sold out of our wasted native coffee that we brought with us. And a lot of natives were buying it and complaining us on having balls to put that brand out there. It's our number one seller. Liberal Tears would be a number two seller. So I want to say this. We were treated like gold by the people in Dawson Creek. We were treated like gold. And I love you guys for that. I really do. The next day after the speech, sorry, later in the day, my mistake, of Highway Zero, or Mile Zero, I'm sorry, but in Highway. As we were standing on that marker in the middle of the street, one guy sees us and rolls his window down and yells out, "Go back home, effing out," and spits. And the spit flies everywhere. So if I break out Instagram thinking, okay, let's see what happens if we stand on this thing longer. And half of the people honked and waved and gave us a thumbs up, and half gave us the finger. And that's the power of the media. Is the media is always going to have the mind share of everybody. And with the left-wing media doing what they do, and that's being far left, they will isolate themselves from half the audience, and they'll have half the audience eating out of their hands. But I don't blame anybody for having animosity towards us, because the media is in control of what is known in Dawson Creek.
Exactly. It's all the media narrative, man, and what they're actually putting out and what's the actual truth. Of course, you're going to have that sector of society that still listens to mainstream media. You're noisy again, Kevin. So I can't find out what's going to be in your show tomorrow night. That was kind of my going to be my pickle for the day, but I'll be definitely tuning in. And folks, you got to hear what he's got to say tomorrow night, because it sure sounds pretty interesting to me, Kevin.
Well, I think so too, because there's not one but three now different experts in law
one who actually has a both a legal background in as being a lawyer and a former police officer with a select police force. And the information that was shared with me last night as to why the detachment is shut down makes a lot of sense.
Huh.
And I can't wait to share it with everybody.
Cool. Cool. So now you're heading back to Calgary.
Yes, I am.
And how long are you going to be in Calgary, Kevin? Are you pretty well rooting there now?
Well, yes. I've got two more trips to make. Both of them are day trips. One to Rocky Mountain House and the other one to Edmonton. And then, yes, it'll be me pretty much stationary inside of Calgary because now the campaign, even though it's only April coming up next week, I'm going to ramp this thing up as if it was October.
Cool.
And it's going to stay ramped up the whole time. We're going to be amped all summer long.
Cool. If people don't know, Kevin got on the ballot now officially for Calgary in the mayoralty race. So congratulations on that, Kevin. And I know you're going to get a lot of support, buddy. I know that for a fact.
Well, the political analysts out there have already made it clear this is a two-man race. It's me and Jeremy Farkas. And Jeremy Farkas' only claim to fame is that he's currently a city councilor. And that's it. He has no presence in public aside from that. And I can tell you this, he's done nothing to end lockdowns, except for maybe disagree once or twice with Matt Heidenchi, the current mayor. He's done nothing to help businesses open. He's done nothing to educate the public on what's going on. He's toting the line.
Right,
so you put this 33-year-old child in office, you're going to get a Matt Heidenchi, except 2,000 pounds lighter. That's all you're going to get. And that's just not the Calgary that I want to live in, especially now that I've left Toronto to live in Alberta, to be around a better lifestyle, especially for me and everybody else who comes out here. We can't let Farkas win. We just can't.
Well, I don't think he's going to win, Kevin, because what you're talking about in your platform is common sense approach to things as opposed to radical globalist agenda that's being perpetrated by most city councils. So getting control of the council, buddy, that is going to make a monumental difference in Calgary, and hopefully it rubs off on the rest of Alberta. We really need to do this. What you're doing, Kevin, I applaud.
Thank you, Barry. I appreciate that.
Well, buddy, we talked about this before that, you know, if people got involved with politics at the local level and we start turning some of these councils around that are all being driven by a globalist agenda, that every mayor sitting on in every town is a mayor of the council of that province in British Columbia. It's the Council of Mayors from British Columbia that are just an arm of the government that are perpetrating globalist agenda. So if we took back the globalist, or we took back the council, we could stop all that stuff, folks. And the ripple effect would be monumental. I think it's how we turn this thing around. You're right. It would only have to start
in one city. That's it. It would only have to start in Calgary. Because here's what would happen is the entire left wing, the day that I take off, actually the day that I win, first off, the left wing will go berserk. So Antifa, Black Lives Matter, the Communist League, all these left-wing democratic liberal lunatics will go berserk. They will call attention to Calgary for free to the entire world, and we will take that attention. And at that point, they'll continue to watch everything I say, and they'll scrutinize everything I say, just like they did to Donald Trump.
Of course.
And I'm fine with that because all the free advertising that comes in the door is going to lead real investors with real money and real business acumen into the city because they now understand that I'm playing the left for suckers. And I tell the left, I'm playing you for suckers. And they don't learn. They still criticize me. Good for them. But the ripple effect in Calgary, it'll get to Medicine Hat and Edmonton instantaneously. Within 6 months of what I do for Calgary, within 6 months, people are going to be demanding that in Edmonton and Medicine Hat. And those two towns will change pretty fast because they're going to have to.
Yeah, Edmonton is a real mess, Kevin. I cannot believe what's going on in Edmonton. They're very, very far gone, but not beyond reproach. All we got to do is get the word out there and educate the people. There was something else I was just going to ask you, and I lost it, buddy. Sorry about that. There was a couple of things I wanted to talk to you about, and I'm at that age now where I get brain farts.
Okay. Oh, Barry, hold on. Before you have a brain fart,
okay.
We're in town, and I'm telling the guys we're going to pull over and get to a McDonald's parking lot so I can hear you and you can hear me. But please continue talking about brain farts.
Well, it's something that you seem to get when you get a little older, you know. You get talking, Kevin, I got a great little thought in my brain, and I'm listening to you talk, and all of a sudden the thought's gone, and it takes me a minute to get it back. But I'm kind of learning to deal with that now. I don't know what's going on up there, buddy, but anyways, I really applaud what you're doing in Calgary, and like I said, a buddy of mine was telling me about a little town up in northern Ontario, Kevin. You want to talk about councils and what we can do to stop this? They took over the council there. 3 of the 5 people on the council are against any kind of globalist agenda. So every time the mayor tries to push through anything that's globalist, it gets shot down by the council. It's driving the mayor absolutely insane because he cannot perpetrate the agenda that he's being instructed to perpetrate on the people. All our mayors, folks, are perpetrating globalist agenda right across the country. So if we get a hold of the council.
What town is that?
Well, you know that's a fact. I'll get the name for it. Ron Stevens, who does a radio show, was telling me this story. And he says, what this little town has done is other people are looking at this town now and going, wow, look, you know, if we could take back the council, we could stop all this craziness that's going on in our cities right now. It's all globalist agenda. They're shutting down. Get a load of this, Kevin. In British Columbia here, they're trying to gate off. They're trying to gate off all the back roads. They're trying to restrict us from going into all kinds of country that has never had restrictions on it before. And you know what they're justifying this as? Preservations of species. That's what's going on in British Columbia right now. And people are starting to... It's all globalist. You know that, and I know it. Get the people off the land. Well, of course, it's all get people off the land. Get people into the cities so we can control them. And that's where they're going here right now, and people are starting to wake up to it.
Well, that's beautiful. I got to find out who that city council is. I'm going to talk to them myself. That's something that we have to do.
I will get that to you right after the show's done today. I'll hook you up with Ron Stevens. I don't know if you know Ron Stevens, but
you've mentioned his name before, but we haven't spoken yet.
Okay. Well, he does a radio show called Rock the Boat. I've had Ron on many times. Very, very well educated on the UN agenda and globalist agenda. So he's kind of my go-to guy when I want to find out about stuff that's going on with the United Nations Declaration of Indigenous Rights and Freedoms, which they're trying to push through on us right now. It's unbelievable what they're trying to do in this province. Hey, Kevin, get a load of this. The whole area around my little town of Terrace, B.C., if the government here gets their way, will all that land all around this town of mine will be owned and operated by a small group of natives, and they'll have control of the resources, they'll have control of access to basically the whole town around Terrace. And that's what this government's trying to do to us right now. People just aren't getting it yet, but people are starting to wake up to what's going on. It's crazy, Kevin. Insanity.
Well, it's totally insane.
But it's all its agenda.
I would ask each and every one of you to look at it this way. If the government's making a push to turn everything over to indigenous peoples, which is a UN agenda, I might add.
Of course.
What we will have is the indigenous people will be the puppets. It won't be natives that own the land. It'll be a couple of natives whose names are on title, but they'll be told what to do under coercion with money or coercion with threats. It's one or the other. And then you're going to have an outside entity like communist China or otherwise, or Saudi Arabia for that matter, controlling what's going on. Everybody out there needs to resist and stop paying attention to words that have no legal meaning. Indigenous does not have a legal meaning. It's just a word that sounds really fancy. It sounds special, but it's not. Don't fall for it. If you really want to know if there's a legal meaning to something, get onto Amazon.ca. I hate Amazon, but they have it. And you pick up a copy of Black's Law Dictionary, and then look up indigenous. It ain't there. So they're going to tell you that we're going to hand this over to indigenous people. There's no definition for that term. So it means that we're going to take it from you. You're going to like it. And if you don't like it, you're still going to be convinced that you like it with threats and jail time.
Exactly.
So that's exactly
what they're doing.
Don't fall for it. In fact, I would encourage all of you, if you have the capacity to get out right now and buy some farmland or buy a piece of land anywhere, please do so.
Yeah.
Please do. Don't cram yourself into a city buying condominiums If that's the only thing you plan to invest in, because condominiums, as you remember on my show with Stefanos Karatopoulos, they're not investments. They are the biggest scam going. You know, it's how do you cram the highest number of people into the smallest space? I mean, if you enjoy the lifestyle, get a condo. But a condominium does not appreciate like a property would, because as after you buy it, you are now subject to the contract and the rules and the terms of right. whoever runs the actual building itself, or the condo corp company that runs it. Plus, on top of that, you've got your mortgage payment and rent in the way of what they call maintenance fees. The hell with that. I want to own a ranch, and I would rent a condo downtown if I really had to be downtown. So, come on, guys. Everyone think this through. If the government's trying to tell you to do something that's outside of what you want to do, then it's probably bad for you. And giving up your land is bad for you. Turning your gold and silver over to the government is bad for you. Putting on a mask is bad for you. And listening to a damn thing that they have to say is bad for you. Remember what George Carlin said in his last HBO special. It's BS, folks. It's BS and it's bad for you. It's all bad for you. Don't do it. Don't comply. I like what Chris Sky says. United non-compliance.
Compliance.
Do not comply with anything your government is saying. Work Absolutely. Within the confines of the law so that you need not be in front of a judge for something stupid, but do not comply with anything that is a recommendation or suggestion or an idea that you know contravenes what you know to be correct.
Absolutely. A time for civil disobedience is now, Kevin. Absolutely.
It absolutely is.
Well, you know, it's our duty. When you think about it, Kevin, it's not something that we should do. It's something that we're obligated to do because as citizens of this country, it is what's required right now because our country is being destroyed. We have the enemy inside our gates right now in ways that just boggles my mind. I see how fast their agenda is going forward, how they're controlling the public in Canada. And our geography really is against us. The size of the country and the distance between population bases really works against us in this country. We're not in places like where you have large amounts of population where people can get together and stand against the government. And even in we do in Toronto. People there seem to be still asleep. I really I like what I see going on in Montreal and Quebec and the way they're starting to stand up against this. I like what I see going on in Europe, but Canadians still seem to be asleep, Kevin, and it's sad, but they really still seem to be asleep, a lot of them.
Well, Go. Take it from a guy that's been to three different war zones, and I've been to a lot of poverty-stricken places. You don't want to have your country collapse into a poverty-stricken place. You do not want to drop even to second world status. You just don't want that. Because when that is the case, you may not know where your next meal is coming from. Bad position to be in, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
What you need to do is stand up and comprehend fully that bylaw officers are afraid of you when all you do is stand your ground. The judges even are afraid of what you represent. And listen, you want to talk about how silly it can be. There are judges that I have now learned that were in Brampton Courthouse back in Ontario that were arguing with each other just to be the judge that would preside over one of my bail hearings or the judge to preside over one of my my court appearances just to say that they were the judge to see Kevin J. Johnston. So you can also do what I do, and I hate using the term my celebrity status, because I'm a humble guy that doesn't see it that way. I'm just a guy that enjoys being around people. However, my opponents and my enemies see me as somebody with high degree of celebrity status, and they either want to be a part of it or they want to do their best to destroy it. So what do they come at me with is BS criminal charges, which are all being thrown out, and they also come at me with insults. They call me racist, like they think that after 4 years of trying that it's somehow going to work magically today. Don't fall for it. They do this because they are afraid. And all of you can do what I do, and that is put a video camera 4 feet from someone's face and ask them a lot of questions. Just keep asking questions. Don't make demands. Don't threaten them, but ask questions. And those who are trying to be tyrannical never have answers. They only have threats. You want proof of that? Have a look at the Calgary mayor, who's in office right now, Naheed Nenshi, He's never once come out and said hello to his constituents in the last 3 years. He has threatened them with everything he possibly can for 3 years. And then when you challenge him, he gets upset. And when he's angry, he begins to lisp. It's hilarious. Understand, your leaders are weak, all of them. Stand up to them now. Sue the hell out of them. Don't stop putting pressure on these people. And if you are just a regular guy or a regular gal, run for office. You don't need to be some kind of special knighted individual to get in there. You just have to be someone that the public agrees with and likes, and you win. It's not easy to win, but you can win. So let's do it.
And really all you have to do is apply common sense, because nothing they're doing makes any sense at all. So a little common sense would really rock the boat, Kevin. I mean, you're right. Our country right now, people don't see it yet, Kevin. But if we keep going the way we are and allow them to keep doing what they're doing, now they're talking about, you know, new variants coming out. They're talking about it being 60% more deadly. We hear about now a major announcement about more lockdowns coming. The numbers are going to accelerate. We watch this vaccine being rolled out in the country and people rolling up their sleeves. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm not an expert on vaccines, but I've watched enough experts talk about this, Kevin, that this is just absolute insanity, what's going on in our country right now with this vaccine rollout. I'll give you 2 minutes to talk on that, then I'm going to have to let you go, buddy, if you don't mind.
No worries. I don't mind at all. Listen, everyone, I think I said this in the last appearance I was on your show. Vaccines after World War I and II were created to keep the population alive in case the Germans made it over the Atlantic Ocean. Our society panicked, thinking that our strong men and women that were going to be able to fight would be dead from diseases because the Germans used so many biological agents in World War I. Think about that. So we've had 100 years, actually 110 years now in many cases, to perfect these things. These new vaccines are not protein-based. They are RNA-based. They will break your DNA strands. And when your DNA strands are broken, you are missing instructions within your body to put your body back together in the next replication cycle. You are constantly being rebuilt all the time. Do not take an RNA-based vaccine. Not now and not ever. If your employer says you must take it or you will lose your job, sue him immediately. Make sure that you charge them under Section 423 of the Criminal Code, intimidation. Do not put up with this in any way, shape, or form, period. Absolutely. If you get sick after you willingly stick a needle in your arm, that's on you. I can't do anything to help you at that point, but I can help you now, which I am. Do not take the vaccine. Do not put up with anybody's garbage. Do not let a doctor put anything up your nose. Do not comply with anything the government is saying. There is no pandemic. I have now shaken hands with and hugged and kissed 30,000 people since I got out of the slammer last year in March. Not even a sniffle, not a cold sore, not a zit. There is no pandemic. There are no new strains. There was never a first wave nor a second wave. There will not be a third wave. You've been lied to.
Barry.
Get your freedom back right now.
How's he still alive, Barry? How are you still alive, Kevin?
Yeah, how are you still alive, Kevin, with that many people? I mean, you should be dead five times over, buddy.
You would think so, wouldn't you?
Hey,
you,
Kevin,
you would think so. And for all you lovely ladies out there who want to plant one on my forehead, cheeks, or lips, go for it. I'm not getting sick, and neither are you.
Hey, I'm selling them through the station today. I got guys at $30 a kiss. Just send the money over, and we'll make sure it gets to Kevin. And we'll make
very good, but you'll have to flip the airfare and everything else too. But we get where you're going with that.
Hey, Kevin, you know what, Kevin? Boys. Listen, always a pleasure getting in, buddy. And we'll have to do this again real soon. I'll let you guys get back to your trip. Listen, just be very careful. Just be very careful driving home, boys, because it's a bad one, and we don't want anything happening to you. Thanks for coming in, Kevin.
Guys, thank you for having me. Hit me online, everybody, at kevinjjohnston.ca. Remember, I own a coffee company now. The coffee that I sell is the most delicious stuff you've ever had. That's kevinjjohnston.ca. Barry, I love you, brother. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Kevin, we'll talk to you real soon, man.
You will.
Okay, bye-bye.
Ciao.
Cool. Okay, guys, I'll be back in about 4 minutes with Dr. Allen, and he's got lots of cool stuff to talk about. So I'll be back in a few minutes. Well, welcome back. Welcome back, second hour, folks, and thanks again for Kevin for joining me. I'm joined the second hour here by Dr. David Allen. People who have listened to my shows over the years have probably heard the doctor talk quite a few times. It's always a pleasure to have him on, and I want to thank him for coming in today. And he is very, very muchly involved in the fight to get medicinal cannabis recognized in his state and around the world. So I'm going to let him talk about a few of the things that he's doing right now. How you doing, Doc? And welcome back to the show. Always great to have you back.
Really appreciate you having me, Barry. Thank you so much.
So tell me about a few of the battles you're in right now. Like I said, I've looked at a lot of them. I've glanced at them, of course. I don't know the details as much as you do, of course. So why don't you give a few ideas to the audience what you're involved in right now?
Well, I wrote a cannabis initiative in about 18 different states. You can write a law and submit it to the state, and then you try to gather signatures for it. And if you get enough signatures for it, then it goes before a popular vote. And
right.
If it is the popular vote, then it actually becomes law. So you can write any kind of crazy thing you want to and change society. So, for instance, you could write a law for finance reform for campaigns or term limits or anything like that. So, and it goes around the legislature, and they really hate that. Because they like to be the ones that write the law. And actually in Mississippi, what happened was they had Initiative 65, which is a medical initiative, and it legalizes cannabis for medical use. And there's a whole bunch of, you know, it's kind of a good, bad thing. It's allowing people to have access, but you can't grow your own plants, and there's a lot of, you know, you can still go to jail for cannabis.
Huh.
And so I was exposed to the legal system in California. And so I was with the Human Solution International. And so we did court support for people charged with cannabis crimes. And I went to many criminal courts and a bunch of family courts and even code enforcement courts, and people don't know about that. And so what happened is, for the drug war to work, it needs 12 jurors to say guilty. And if they have just 11 people say guilty, the drug war business plan doesn't work. So they're having trouble finding 12 people to say guilty, and so the judges are upset because they can't find a jury that will convict. And so, well, what do you do in that situation? What do you do in that situation? You make it legal, and then you don't get a jury. So what happened is, you know, the drug task force and the police no longer are involved in cannabis for the most part. And so it's semi-legal in California and other places. And what that means is the code enforcement people can fly drones over your house because they don't have to get a warrant like police do because they're not police. And then they charge you with abatement fines for growing cannabis plants, and then they take you to court in code enforcement building, and they hire a code enforcement attorney, and they call him the code enforcement hearing officer, and they have two garden police code enforcement officers come in and testify against you, and they take your property. Sometimes the property's, you know, the fines and stuff are worth more than the property taxes and stuff. And you don't get a jury, and you don't get anybody to defend you because it's a civil matter. It's not a criminal matter. So by making it semi-legal, they can make it where it's not criminal, it's civil, and you don't get anybody to defend you, and you don't get a jury. So by doing it this way, they can get the jury out of the equation.
Right.
So really what this is the drug war 2.0.
Right.
It's a new drug war under a new name, and has new players.
Of course. It's a perpetration of a police state. That's what it is.
That's exactly what it is.
Of course. So the same thing's happening here in Canada.
I know it is. And yep. So I wrote this from a activist point of view. And this has two major points to this initiative. One point is it allows doctors and scientists to study cannabis without interference by the law or the medical board. And the second thing is it allows you to possess as much as you can have. There's no limit. And you can grow up to 99 plants because, and we selected that number because the feds get involved if you grow over 100 plants. So there'll be license for people that want to grow more than 100 plants, but you don't have, anybody can grow up to 99 plants without a license. Mm. And there's no limit on how much you can have. So, what this means is, since there's no limits, that means you don't need a police officer or a garden police to come inspect your house to see if you're in compliance, because all quantities are legal. And I sent this in twice before, and it was rejected for different reasons. And
right.
Time they sent it back, I made it a little bit stronger. And so this last time I had to actually include a business organization that will regulate all these businesses that this thing will create. And so we're gonna have a cannabis bank and a cannabis wholesaler that will sell your cannabis for you. It'd be a clearinghouse that you can sell your cannabis.
Hmm.
So let me read the opening statement and the title. So
okay.
The title is "The Real Legalization and Decriminalization of Cannabis and Hemp in Mississippi and Legalization of Medical and Scientific Study of Cannabis and Hemp." Opening statement. Cannabis is a nutraceutical and metabolic necessity and should be in the diet of all humans and animals to help control homeostasis. Anti-cannabis laws have ruined many family lives for using a flower that has so many benefits. Under current controlled substance law, CSA, no physician can study cannabis without special permission that is routinely denied. Many state attempts at partial legalization have resulted in the continuation of the war on cannabis in a modified form and the continued arrest of citizens and seizure of property. Any restrictions on plant limits or amounts possessed means partial legalization and an army of police and government compliance inspectors on your property. If we don't end the drug war, we are passing it on to our children. This initiative is designed as a single issue, and that's important, calling it a single issue, to end the drug war on cannabis and hemp and to establish Mississippi as a first state where unrestricted medical and scientific studies on cannabis and hemp are allowed by law.
Mm. I'm moving to Mississippi. Go ahead.
This is just in the infancy stage, and we still got one more little hurdle to pass before it's actually an initiative. We passed two of three major hurdles. It's had a certificate of review by the Attorney General. And they gave it back to me with no wording changes. So usually they have a chance to change the wording, and they didn't make any wording changes at all this time. And then we sent it to the Secretary of State, who's issued it a serial number, and this will be Initiative 77. Okay. And the only thing left is it's going back to the Attorney General, and they have to make a PDF that has the initiative title, a 75-word summary of the initiative, and some legal words that says that if you sign this initiative fraudulently, you're going to go to jail. And then it has areas for signatures and addresses. And so once we get that PDF from the Attorney General with the ballot summary, then we can start printing and collecting signatures. And this is already hobbled. We're starting a couple months, 3 months late, and we only really have till November to collect all these signatures, and we're going to have to collect quite a few signatures. And so this is going to be depending on, you know, activists and people donating money to make this happen. So this is the real legalization. It's not some semi-legalization. And this may not pass here.
Right.
But since I wrote it the way I did, it's going to create a stir throughout the rest of the country. And people will see what the real, because they're going to, there's going to be a lot of discussion about this. And why is it, why do you want it this way? Well, because I know what bad legalization works like. And this will be the first place in the country that doctors can study cannabis legally without fear of reprisal. And how can you argue against that?
You can't.
So you can't argue against that. But they're going to try. I'll read some of the points on this. I'll try not to go into it too bad. It's actually not too long. It's 2.5 pages. It's less than 2 pages legal size.
Go ahead, Doug.
So licensed physicians may give medical opinions on cannabis and hemp without restriction by law for enforcement of the medical board. And I cite a legal case, Conant versus Walters. Only licensed physicians can evaluate medical indications for cannabis use, and they can't be punished for recommending cannabis. Number two, physicians and veterinarians may conduct medical studies on cannabis and hemp, And the results of all studies on humans and animals will be published online free by the medical board here, or by this company that I create, the MMCC. Starting immediately, arrests for cannabis-associated flower crimes must have a victim or property loss. No arrests for cannabis or derivatives will occur. Only citations with a maximum fine of $500 are allowed. This will result in a dramatic reduction in expenses for law enforcement. The only exception for arrest will be unlicensed interstate transfer, DUI, DWI with proof of impairment, and child endangerment. And they'll use the local child endangerment laws. Local counties, cities, and municipalities may not make laws to deny cannabis access. Access to cannabis, hemp, or derivatives. Mississippi law enforcement cannot enforce federal cannabis law. Transportation of cannabis products are legal inside the state boundaries. Adults may legally use and possess all forms and quantities of cannabis. Adults can grow 99 plants without a license. Unlimited possession of cannabis and hemp and related products. Unrestricted by law or code enforcement or other agencies. Any excess cannabis or hemp not utilized by the grower may be used as barter, untaxed, which actually makes it money. And cash sales of excess product would be, require a sales tax rate of 7%. Anyone unable to grow can have caregivers grow for them. So this will allow people that live in apartments, they can make contracts with people that have farms. You can grow your six plants, and you can pay them like a few hundred dollars, and they'll grow some plants for you. And full reciprocity for out-of-state adults. No state or local restrictions on gardens. A property cannot be seized by state or outside agencies. No ID card needed or database for adult use. And that's the only time I use the word adult use. Because adult use and recreational use are both propaganda terms. Because they don't recognize that people have endocannabinoid signaling systems. And this is just like denying yourself water or food.
Exactly.
So I have this T-shirt that says air, water, food, cannabis. And that's the order.
All you need is a sack of seed, duck, and you can survive.
Right.
I love it.
Cannabis smoking is legal wherever tobacco smoking is allowed. There's going to be the state will release prisoners and expunge all records for nonviolent prisoners charged with cannabis-associated crimes, and I have in parentheses, cannabis POWs. This includes all constituents, hash, oil, and all that. Start a database for cannabis POWs for future reparations from taxes collected by this measure. $20 a day of confinement to start 6 months after the initiative. Cannabis and hemp cannot be used to deny a person employment, housing, government benefits, medical care, including transplants. Children, the use of cannabis cannot be used to deny custody of children or visitation privileges or used by child protective services or family court. Cannabis used by minors would require parental consent. Giving cannabis products to minors by anyone other than the legal guardian will be charged by standard child endangerment laws. Gun laws. This was a kind of important thing. When they passed Initiative 65, some people said, oh, well, if you get cannabis, you're not going to be able to have a gun. And so I wrote this specifically for to answer that. Gun laws. Cannabis and hemp does not alter the Second Amendment right to own a gun. No law is higher than constitutional law.
Exactly.
So it answers these people that say, oh, if you get cannabis, you won't be able to have a gun. Tracking. No seed to sales tracking allowed on plants that can be easily cloned.
So tell them why that's important.
Some of this wording is really specifics for stupid people because these non-cannabis users think that you can have seed to sales tracking. That makes good sense to them because they don't know that you can clone a plant, and that means that these little tags that they're selling are worthless.
Exactly.
Seed to sales tracking is Chicago gangsterism at its finest.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be the one to sell you the tags.
Exactly.
14. This is really important, too. This initiative will be made law and will be placed into the state constitution, so opponents of cannabis legalization cannot alter them later without legitimate popular democratic vote. So the cannabis, the Initiative 65 to legalize medical cannabis went into the Constitution, and they hated that. And so now this specifically says it's doing it in the Constitution so your pot haters can't change the law without popular, legitimate popular democratic vote. It's called the Real Democratic Legalization of Cannabis and Hemp. And All right. Now, the business organization. So this is kind of really cool, too. The state will establish a Mississippi Medical Cannabis Association, MMCA, with a director of Mississippi cannabis industry, who will establish, maintain, a regular and regulate departments of cannabis banking, tax revenue and accounting, licensings, medical ID cards, lab testing, prisoner release, reparations and expungements, and a clearing and brokerage exchange, clearinghouse and brokerage exchange. The responsibilities of this czar, if you want to call him, he will be responsible for accounting of all departments, tax revenue coordination, and communication between all parties, annual reporting to the governor, hiring and pay negotiations for all departments. All positions will be filled as funds are available. Some subcontracting with private businesses is allowed. All directors, employees, and subcontractors, check this out, must pass minimum proficiency tests and knowledge of the ECS, the endocannabinoid signaling system. How about that? So if you get a job in this, you got to pass minimum knowledge of the ECS.
Right. Makes sense.
Establish a Mississippi Medical Cannabis Committee, MMCC, a separate autonomous business entity consisting of 8 licensed physicians who are members of the ICRS, the International Cannabinoid Research Society. So these 8 people will have to be members of the ICRS and tested for competency in the science of the ECS. A director will be chosen from one of the following specialties. So you're going to have somebody in surgery, medicine, infectious disease, pediatrics, orthopedics, oncology, neurology, and veterinary medicine. Additionally, departments of education and medical studies responsible for ECS education, competency tests, and literature review. And it's important. These doctors are going to have to do monthly literature review. So, like, for instance, the pediatrician is going to have to review an article about pediatrics, and the infectious disease guy is going to have to review articles on infectious disease regarding cannabis.
Right.
And and there'll be a social equity program, so for people that are disadvantaged, and laboratory studies will be started and advised the MMC. So the laboratory sciences will also advise this medical group.
Okay.
The MMCC's responsibilities will be education and competency testing, monitoring ongoing medical studies, establishing best practice recommendations and indications, and that's recommendations and indications, not law, literature review and clinical trial development, publishing and development of Mississippi state-owned U.S. cannabis patents, development of lab testing standards and labeling of products, development of state medical ID card program. After purchasing and obtaining a state medical ID card, no tax or fee or other charge will be allowed. Once obtained, it's good for life. Once a patient, always a patient. So you don't have to get a card every year. You just get one and that's it.
Mm.
The MMC will make recommendations to the governor and to the czar. And then there's lab testing, licensing. No license will be over $500 for including growing, processing, extraction, transportation, lab testing, delivery service, food and beverage business, smoke lounges, wholesale and retail sales. No license required for citizens with less than 99 plants.
Hmm. A whole new industry is going to be born, Doc, and it's a good one.
And we'll start a cannabis, hemp, and brokerage exchange and clearinghouse for citizens and businesses to market tested cannabis products then and charge a 1% fee per transaction, and then there's a 7% tax, so you get charged 8%. You send your excess cannabis or hemp to them. They lab test it and then market it for you.
Wow.
This exchange will be responsible for running a compassionate program for citizens and terminally ill in catastrophic conditions. They'll start a cannabis bank for businesses and citizens. Now, this is the how you divide up the money. This is the last was like real important. The amount and source of revenue required to implement ballot initiative. And that's you have to put that in there. That's law. Cannabis and hemp and all derivatives will be sold at a tax rate of 7%. Revenue in excess of businesses expenses will be collected from all departments in this initiative and be added to the tax revenue. So, for instance, the card companies will be making money, the hemp exchange will be making money, and there'll be a cannabis bank, they'll be making money. So all of these businesses that make money, that money that they make is not going to be just for that business. They'll be able to spend it on their business expenses, but anything over the business expenses go back to the state. All spending will commence as fundings become available and will be divided as follows. Tax revenue will fund initiative programs as a priority and divided by the following percentage of the total. State general funds gets 50%. And it's delayed until all departments are funded and functional. MMCA gets 5%. MMCC gets 5%. Banking and tax revenue, 5%. Licensing, 5%. Brokerage and clearinghouse, 5%. Lab testing, 5%. Expungements and reparations, 20%. So everything gets 5% except for expungement and reparations. And after reparations are complete, the 20% of revenues assigned to it may be added to the state general fund. So the state is going to get a minimum, after all of this is in place, a minimum of 70% plus whatever money that the business generates. So this will be a state-funded, the state's going to make out like a bandit on this. And what's going to happen is this. People that want to study cannabis, scientists, will be drawn to the state. So a lot of doctors won't be involved in this because if you're a doctor and you have a medical license and you write prescriptions, that means you have a federal prescription. And since it's federally illegal to dispense cannabis, doctors with the license to write prescriptions are really not allowed to do anything for the, you know, be involved in this. And so many doctors with a license that write prescriptions will refuse to do any cannabis investigation unless they're protected by law, unless their job is protected by law. And so this will actually, so there still will be a lot of people, a lot of doctors that won't get involved in this. But there will be radical doctors like myself and others that will get involved in this. And so we will be able to determine different conditions that you could use cannabis for that that the lawyers haven't thought of. So, for instance, in Mississippi, the new cannabis legalization for medical use, they have like 19 or 20 indications for use. But in 1860, the pharmacopoeia had over 200 uses for cannabis oil. So doctors, for instance, currently for burn treatments, we use silver sulfidine. It's a cream. It's like Noxzema. It kills bacteria, but it's messy. It's slimy. It doesn't stick to the wound. But cannabis oil, you can change the viscosity of it, and it has antibacterial properties. And I believe that pouring cannabis oil on burn wounds is going to be a better treatment than what we currently have. And so this law will allow doctors to do studies and photograph burn wounds with cancer treatment, and will either prove or disprove cannabis's efficacy. And so then we'll have true science, and we'll know, well, cannabis works for this or it doesn't work for that. So we'll know that. And then the second thing is, since everybody in the state can grow, there'll be a lot of people come in and try to grow tons and tons of pot. And they'll get licensed. I'm sure there'll be a graduated license for if you want to grow 60,000 plants, that it costs you more than $500. But the money will go to the citizens here, so this will improve the economy of the state, but it's because it will allow thousands of independent people to increase the wealth of the state.
Wow. I love it, Doc. Imagine what would happen to the health of the people in Mississippi if they were allowed to fully embrace cannabis. Just imagine if we could feed it to our animals, if we could grow enough in the state to feed your animals, to grow enough to make yourself some oil and take an extract every day and put it into your body. You're talking about destroying the big farming industry in Mississippi. That'd be a terrible thing, wouldn't it, Doc? Because I honestly believe, Doctor, if that everybody had a jar of cannabis oil beside their bed and they all took a little bit before they went to bed every night, that you would see monumental changes in our society as the general health of people would drastically improve. And that's why I love having you on.
Yeah.
Because we're both passionate about that. We know what it can do.
Well, this will change society, but I don't know if this is going to go. But even if it doesn't go here, it may go somewhere else. At least I've started the spark. I've planted the seed. And the truth is, cannabis is a nutraceutical and metabolic necessity, and if you don't know what that means, you're part of the problem.
Exactly. You know, a lot of people still don't even know what the signaling system is in the human body. I talk to people about it in general conversations, and they don't even know what it is, Doc. You know, and that's sad. But that's the power of big pharma. They've kept it away from society. Go ahead.
As you know, I did a study where I called 157 medical schools in the United States. And we asked the directors of the curriculum, do you have a department of ECS with a director? Are you teaching the ECS as an organized course? Do you even teach it in ancillary courses like pharmacology, neuroanatomy, or pathophysiology? And the answer is only 13% even mentioned that this communication system exists. And this is the most important study. This is the most important discovery ever in human history, the discovery of the endocannabinoid signaling system, and will save more human lives than the discovery and application of sterile surgical technique.
Amen.
So more people would be saved by manipulating the ECS than are currently saved by sterile surgical procedures. So,
boy, what a great day that'll be when we can finally bring it full force back into our society. The suffering that it would eliminate, Doc, just blows my mind. Go ahead.
This is the truth, and you can't. I mean, you can hide the truth, but you can't keep the truth from coming to light. And you know, way back in ancient times, in the Romans, the Romans couldn't grow enough pot for the society. And that's when it was legal back then. And that probably will happen at some point. That already is happening here. You can't grow enough of this because there's so many uses for it. You can use the stalk and the herd for building materials, insulation, clothing, oils, varnishes, canvas sails. It's
the end. The list is endless.
It's endless.
It is, Doc.
You can make building blocks that you can't burn. You make it with lime and cannabis fiber, and it's you can't even burn this. It's a building material you can't burn.
Doc, there's a company in Calgary right now that is just going nuts because they brought this product to the market about 4 years ago. They spent $20 million developing building blocks. They have a two-hour fire rating on the blocks, 40 on our 40 installation value, hemp-based blocks. Company's called Just Biofiber. When you get a chance, look at what they're doing, because I was just talking to Terry there a couple days ago, and his demand for the product is going, his words was right through the roof, because what's happening with builders now, they're starting to look at hemp as an alternative to wood. And when they do, Doc, it just, their eyes open like golf balls, like a beach ball, because they're looking at a product that will last, you know, 300 to 400 years, that won't allow the perpetration of black mold or white mold in our houses. When you have any two wood products, you put them together, you put a little bit of water in there, you've got black mold, the silent killer in our houses. You eliminate that. You can build a house that doesn't burn, a house that sequesters carbon out of your air 24/7. The properties are just endless. I've looked at it for a couple of years here, and I just go, why don't people start seeing this? But what's happening now, he tells me that big builders are really starting to embrace it. They've added two more production lines in his company. They've hired another 20 employees here in the last 3 weeks, because the demand, he says, is going right through the roof. And boy, what a great time to bring this back. And then you know what's going to happen, Doc? The demand for the product to grow it is going to come. And people are going to be growing more and more industrial hemp, and that will detoxify all the pollutants that we've put into our soil in the last 20, 30 years. The properties, the values, just, you could go on for hours, Doc. You could literally go full circle for an hour talking about what we can do when we embrace this, how it can change our world, and people are starting to wake up to it. And I say, boy, it's about time. It's about time.
It could do so much for our world. If you don't like marijuana, you're not going to like the future.
No, it could change our whole world. Everything we're doing right now, detrimental to this planet, we could change. If it was up to me, you know what I'd do tomorrow, Doc? I would get about 35 big airplanes. I'd fill them up with about 10 million industrial cannabis seeds, and I'd spray the whole planet with them. And I'd stop the spraying in our atmosphere. And in about 2 or 3 years, all the chemicals that are in our soil would be removed. Then the food that we're growing wouldn't be full of chemicals. It'd be full of cannabinoids. Our whole world would change. Our health would just improve so much in society if people would embrace this. Well, people are starting to embrace it, Doc, and it's great having you on because, like I said, a lot of people have never even heard of this signaling system in our human body, and it is so vital to our health. Go ahead, my friend.
I'd like to caution you about the use of industrial, because so they got this new law for industrial hemp here in the United States. And what industrial means, it means that it's hemp that's used for non-dietary reasons. So it when you say industrial hemp, that means they can't use the oil for medical reasons. They can't use that. It's only industrial. So it's like and really hemp may be an even more important medicine in some things than cannabis. So there are studies that show that actually THC inhibits CBD's ability to inhibit viruses and stuff. So CBD inhibits viral replication, and it inhibits your body's reaction to a viral infection. So what happens is CBD stops what's called cytokine storm. And cytokine storm is your body's reaction to it's your body's immune reaction, overstimulated immune reaction, to a viral infection. So what happens is, so when you first get exposed to a virus, okay, you don't have any immunity to it because your body only recognizes itself. And when there's a new protein introduced, then the body starts to make antibodies to that protein. So once you get exposed to the virus, then you start making antibodies. And depending on the viral load will depend on how big your antibody response is, okay? The second time you get a viral load, though, and you've got a ramped up immune system, what happens is the virus replicates in the cell and burst open, and then all these viral particles are released into the interstitium, into the fluid, the cellular fluid. And the white cells, if they have antibodies against that viral protein, what they do is they burst open and they release all their enzymes inside the white cell. And the enzymes are designed to digest the foreign protein. So when the white cell sees a foreign protein, not self, it bursts open, releases these proteolytic enzymes, and that actually triggers like a chemical reaction. If there's other cells in the area, they start busting open. So one cell busts, and it causes 100 cells to bust open, and it causes 1 million cells to bust open. It's like a nuclear reaction. And then all of a sudden you've got all this proteolytic enzymes in your blood system, and that causes a bunch of other things. So what that causes, when you have all these enzymes released, it causes disseminated intravascular coagulation, DIC. And that's a condition where you clot everything off and you bleed at the same time. So it causes your platelets to coagulate and form platelet plugs. And then since you don't have any since it lowers your platelet count, it makes you bleed too. And in the case of Ebola, when you get exposed to Ebola, these enzymes are released are so strong that it actually dissolves the glue that glues the cells of the vessels together. So that's why you start bleeding, because the cells no longer have their integrity, and you start oozing blood because it dissolves the glue in all the cells of your vessels. Mm. So it's a hyperimmune reaction that causes the death of the individual. So this DIC causes what's called septic shock, and you lower your blood pressure. It actually dilates your vessels. So whatever blood that's in your vessels, once you dilate all your vessels, it acts like you just lost a couple liters of blood. And so it acts like you go into hypovolemic shock, but it's actually septic shock caused by an infection and a hyper response of the immune system. And so CBD is proven in clinical trials on animals and stuff, not in humans, is CBD is proven to stop disseminated intravascular coagulation and cytokine storm. So, and actually THC kind of inhibits this reaction of CBD. So
I didn't know that.
So really, hemp may be a more important medicine for viral infections than cannabis is.
Because of the lack of THC?
Because of the lack of THC, which means the word industrial hemp is an evil word.
Mm.
It's propaganda.
Well, what I look at, Doc, is how what it as a building product and as all the different uses that we can incorporate by embracing it would just really change our world, and I think the time has come for that.
Absolutely, industrial hemp is here, and there's many industrial uses for hemp, but it shouldn't be called just industrial hemp because it's more than that.
What would the term you give it then?
I don't know, but you know,
a multi-purpose everything. Yeah. How about that? Because that's what it is.
Another pet peeve of mine is when people call the cannabinoid system. It's not cannabis. It's cannabis.
Right.
So, highly educated people who don't know cannabis call it the endocannabinoid signals system. It's endocannabinoid, not cannabinoid.
Well, that's the term I use all the time. It's the one that's proper for it, Doc, because I've listened to you talk enough times to understand a little bit about it. But you told me before that you've been studying this for how many years now, and you still don't fully understand how it works in the human body. But I know you've told me before that it doesn't matter if you understand how it works. All you got to know is that it does work. And it is the answer to so many of our problems. Like you said, only 13% of the schools are just touching on it now. That's a real travesty in our society, isn't it?
It is. And that's
just imagine for a sec, Doc. Just imagine for a sec if we spent the money on cannabis research for 1 year that we spend on weapons to kill ourselves. Boy, would you think there'd be a few changes in our world? I mean, I think about that all the time, and it would just, if we could just get people to understand that this is the most important thing that we can do right now, is to fully explore everything that this plant given to us can do for our world, especially the way the world's going right now. We have multiple problems coming at us from multiple different directions, and I don't think anything that can't be corrected if we embrace this plant. Go ahead.
Well, it's hard to teach people about this because some people have monetary reason
of course
to deliberately not understand what you're trying to tell them.
Exactly.
So whatever you tell them, they will deliberately confuse and belittle because they don't want to know about it.
And, like maybe a Pfizer sales rep.
Well, you know, exactly. I was thinking about this, and, you know, I was thinking about, you know, sometimes, you know, religion is kind of like this. So if you know about religion, then you're kind of accepting, you'll hear somebody talk about religion. But if you don't accept religion, and somebody comes up and tries to tell you about God or something.
Yep.
It triggers your amygdala,
right?
And it says, and people that don't believe in God, if you try to go up and tell them about God, it turns on their amygdala, and they think in their head, I know everything I need to know about that. There's nothing that you can tell me that's going to make any difference. So right. You're wasting your time. You're irritating me with this information.
Right.
And I'm sure there's other ways to explain it, but that I thought to myself, that's like a really good way to explain this. And cannabis helps people turn off their amygdala, which means that they're more open to change.
Right.
So people that don't use cannabis are resistant to change. They know everything. You can't teach them anything they don't already know. And it's a gateway drug. Why are you telling me this crazy information about the good things that cannabis can do?
Doc, I got to tell you one story about a girl here in town here that was on Prozac for about 3 years. And she tried to get off it without any help. And she said it was probably the worst feelings, the worst thing she ever went through in her life was trying to get off Prozac. Well, she started using cannabis. And she says, man, in 3 months, it was gone. And she gives all praise to the plant because of what it did, helping her with the withdrawal. So that's just one story I've heard. But go ahead. I'll let you continue.
Mushrooms do that too, though.
I've heard that too. Yeah. But the only mushroom I use right now, Doc, is chaga. So, And I've talked about that one lots, and I talk about it lots on my shows because it's an incredible mushroom. But go ahead. We only got about 5 minutes left here, Doc, and I really like to give you some more time to talk a little bit before we have to shut it out. Yeah, please do.
I made some stickers and some patches called, it says Drug War Veterans. And it has a little bar like an Army Award or something, you know?
Yeah.
So you can get these Drug War patches from me. And the other thing is kind of really cool. On April 20th, Robert Plathorn, who was the guy from the Black Tuna Diaries or the Square Grouper thing
right.
in Florida, he spent 30 years in jail for pot. And he's started this, he's going to have this fishing tournament on April 20th for prisoners of war, for the Canada's war. And so we've got a, there's going to be a whole bunch of people. There's like five or six boats, I think, and they're paying for travel down there and hotel arrangements and food. And Tommy Chong has done a video welcoming the POWs.
Cool. So, and you're going?
Yeah, I'm going, and I'm going to be giving those, you know, veterans of the drug war patches out. And so, you know, all you got to do is just show up and do something.
Well,
everybody help cannabis legalization. If you get off your rear end and just do just a little something, you can help this.
This is the truth.
This is the right. I'm on a mission from God.
Well, you know what? I couldn't agree with you more, my friend, because like you said, and I've said many, many times on my show, if we just started educating people, would just open their minds to what this plant can do to this world, we would see such a better world in a generation from now. And I believe people are starting to wake up, and I got to praise you for what you're doing, Doc, because you're a warrior, and you do it because your heart's in the right place. You know what this can do to people. I know you love the human race, and you see the suffering going on that can be eliminated by this, and I just got to applaud you for what you're doing, my friend.
Yeah. I mean, this is used to tear up families, to take children away from parents, and extort money from the families. It's used to throw the husband and the wife into prison, to make the children homeless, and for the prison guards to charge a bunch of money for phone conversations to and from the prisoner, mm-hmm. and all the other things involved in the prison. This is all about, this is really slavery is what it is.
It is.
And they're profiting off of this slavery. And it's time to end the drug war on cannabis, the real legalization and decriminalization. So I use both of those words because people argue, oh, you want to legalize these? I want it both. I want it just like broccoli.
Well, you know what, Doc, your initiatives are getting people talking, and that's if anything comes out of this, you have really stimulated conversations with people. I read your initiatives there a while ago, and I know I've shared them on my page, and I've also had good reactions from it. Everything that you're trying to do is common sense approach to how we need to go forward with this, and I really hope that a lot of people listen to what you're saying, and we can really make something happen in Mississippi. It'd be an example for the rest of the United States of America, and many, many other states would follow course immediately. So I really love what you're doing, man. And I'm going to have you back in a little while, and you can bring us up again, update us on what's going on. Folks, you got to follow Dr. Allen. You can find him on Facebook. Where else can they find you, Doc?
I started a group. It's called Legalize and Decriminalize the Medical Study of Cannabis. And I use instead legalize, it's capitalize everything. And I used the sign for "and" instead of the word "and." I had another Facebook thing, but it was hacked. And so we got this one, this new thing, and it says by legal democratic vote, cannabis is medicine, and it has a big red cross and a cannabis plant or cannabis leaf on it. So please join us. Try to help us with getting signature signed, either donating money for that or arranging signature signings if you live in Mississippi. If you live outside of Mississippi, please support us, because once we do this in Mississippi, every other state's going to be licking their chops to do the same thing.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, Doc, when you see Tommy Chong, I've plugged him a couple times to come on my show. Put a word in for me, okay?
Well, he's not coming.
Okay.
He's not coming to the thing. Tommy's 4/20 is a working day for Tommy, so he can't go fishing on 4/20.
Well, listen, Doc, you know, I got to let you go. It is an absolute pleasure having you back in, and I look forward to our next conversation. Thanks for coming in today, and please, folks, follow what the doctor's doing. he's really, really trying to make a difference. And we need more like you, Doc. So thanks a lot again for coming in.
Hey, and Barry, you send me some of that Shaga, okay?
You know what? I will. You know what, Doc? Have you ever looked it up on the internet yet?
Of course I have.
Yeah. It's amazing. Anybody that, you know, I won't get talking about Chaga because I'll go for an hour. But anybody hasn't looked into Chaga, you got to look into it. And, Doc, if I can send it down there, I would. But I don't know if I can ship down to the United States. But,
It might be illegal or something.
Well, because I make a concentrate, so it's an actual liquid that I make. And that's what I drink every day.
It's illegal to give water to people in voting lines now here in Georgia.
Pretty soon they're going to tax the air we breathe, Doc. Got to let you go, my friend. I got to let you go. Right. We'll do this again. Bye. We'll do it again. Okay, bye-bye. I could go for another hour with that guy. Okay, I got to go for a couple minutes, guys. I'll be back with Wayne in a few minutes.
You're listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.
They call me bad company. I won't deny. Bad company. To
Welcome back, Third Hour, and thanks again to Dr. Allen. Really enjoyed talking with that man. I'll get him back again real soon. Great to have Wayne Peters in for the Third Hour. Wayne is a, well, if you've heard my shows before, you've heard Wayne talk before, and he's one of the guys I really like to enjoy, enjoy conversations with, because he's a smart guy, and I like getting smart guys on my show, because it makes me look smart. So how you doing, Wayne?
I'm good, Barry, and yourself?
Oh, I've enjoyed the show today so far. I had Kevin in the first hour, and even though it was a bit of a schmuzzle because he's on the highway right now, it's always good to get him in and hear about his adventures up north. And I got to talk to the doctor here for an hour, and that's always a good thing. So I'm looking forward to conversation here today. You want to talk about the RCMP a little bit, Wayne? What's on your mind?
Well, it's not just the RCMP in one sense. This is, we're starting to see more and more and more of. Yes, I broke a story involving the RCMP on, I broke that story on Tuesday about an incident going on in Alberta. And since that story went out, I've had multiple other stories land in my inboxes about some pretty, very flattering instances of the RCMP overreach of power and abuse. And in this case, in Rocky Mountain House, possibly even something more. The victim actually believes that they were trying to take his life. So this is pretty serious allegations against the RCMP in Canada, but this isn't the first time we've seen this.
Mm. I've heard quite a few stories. You know, it's hard to get to the bottom of some of them, Wayne, but it seems like I'm hearing more and more and more stories like this all the time, and makes you believe that they're not all BS, that there's some truth to what's going on. But I know for a fact myself that, you know, the RCMP are becoming very, very police, very police state now in Canada. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that. We see it across the country. Look at who's running the RCMP, Brenda Leckie, and look into who she is. It explains it all, Wayne.
Well, this is something that's been progressing on a trajectory for a long time now. I really started to question things about 2 years ago when they started distributing armored personnel assault vehicles to every detachment in the country. I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't right here. Canadians don't need this kind of stuff. We are not that kind of people. There's no, not that level of regular violence that every city should have, armored assault vehicles for dealing with crowds. So this was a real red flag to me a long time ago. We've all grown up hearing this, that, and the other story, or maybe having bad experiences with, individuals in law enforcement. That's life. I've experienced and seen some of that myself, but what has been transpiring the last little while goes beyond the average exception, and it's getting dangerous for some people, and people need to understand, I think, better where their responsibilities and focus should lie in keeping themselves safe, and who these people actually are, in right going down to the foundation of who the police serve. We're under this misconception that the police are there to protect and serve us. And this is an illusion. They are sworn to protect the crown against us, actually. So this is something that people need to look at and understand a little bit better, I guess, is within their communities pay a price for policing from the crown, right? So this is how the system works. So if you become a threat to the crown, you become a target of the police, which is, I believe, what has happened in this case, because the victim here, Mr. Sheridan, a local business owner, has been taking to task the local municipality and the police, on in the court system or through filing notices of liability at going after their bonds and whatnot in Rocky Mountain House to battle the lockdown measures. And what, this is really where this all started.
Right.
So through him using laws that we should all know, but none of us do. None of us actually understand how the legal and law system works in Canada, how common law affects things that are going on. And he's been using common law effectively against these entities, and they don't like it. And it escalated into some extreme violence last weekend where Patrick, a 56-year-old business guy, he's 5'7", you know, not exactly a hulking and intimidating individual, gets basically taken down hard in a highway check stop roadblock with eight officers where they tase him five times as they smash the window in his truck without cause, really, you know, without getting into all the details of it. And it's just – we just can't let that happen in our communities. If this, and I think that this story needs to get out, more people need to take a hard look at what's going on in their communities and how these systems operate. So that if we can, if there's something to do about these systems, that we can do it. Okay, so be it. But I know in the West there's been a lot of conversation lately about policing and whether they should be replaced or provincial policing. And and throughout the whole media over the last year, we've been hearing a lot about defunding the police. Well, none of this really helps their case or cause very much.
No, defunding the police isn't the answer. It's making the police accountable for their actions is the answer, and they're not accountable for their actions right now. We're seeing it right across the country, Wayne, and it's really ramping up. I mean, the police state is alive and well in Canada right now, and this is just another example of it. I didn't get the full details of his arrest or how he was beaten up on the highway. What instigated the attack by the police on him? Can we talk about this for a minute? Because it's kind of, you're educating me right now. Go ahead.
To back it up a little bit, they had given him a charge of nuisance, I believe it was, or something
public
like that.
Nuisance? Yeah.
Yeah. And they hadn't actually given him a formal charge. They had set a court date without a formal charge. He did not appear at this court date because they had not given him a formal charge. So this had transpired a couple of months prior to the event where they took him down here now. And this was one of the things that I initially interviewed him about on my platform on What's Up Canada. He spoke to us in January about some of these instances of him fighting back, and this is what had been going on, right?
Huh.
So all of a sudden here now, this past Saturday at noon, he's on his way into the shop, and they bring eight officers to take him down. And they say, they walk up to his vehicle. He rolls his window down a couple of inches, and they say, "We have a warrant for your arrest." He says, so Patrick says, "Well, for what? What is the charge? Show me the charge." And at that instant, while some officers had their guns drawn, they smashed the window out and didn't even give him a chance to get out of the truck. They were tasing him.
They drew their guns on him?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that really that shocks me.
Right, and then they tase him once in the back of the head, once in the front of the neck and the chest, and once in the back of the neck, and three times in the back as well. Yet.
So they tased him five times.
Yes.
That will stop the heart on a lot of people. You know that, eh?
He believes that was the intent.
Well, this is shocking. But not really, because I've heard of other stories like this going across the country right now. And you know what? It's something that people really better start paying attention to, Wayne, because we're losing control of the policing in our country. Well,
this is the second time for this man that he's gone through this here now. The first time they didn't arrest him, they just beat him up, calling it resisting arrest when he was trying to deal with him in his business, in his place of work, in his garage. They came in, five of them that time, and they tried to tase him, but he disarmed one of them by smacking the taser out of the guy's hand, and that was they basically hauled him away bloodied. Then was the first time, so this was kind of has turned personal, I believe, on behalf of some of these officers, that they're looking for any point they can to do harm to this individual. So when I heard about this second event, I was really, really concerned. So I reached out and I got the details on it. I spoke to the missus and carried on with covering this story from since then, because nobody will talk about it, right? So last night, he got out of jail, I think Wednesday, they finally let him out. They dropped most of the charges. Under duress, he accepted two of the 13 charges just so that he could get out. And then he came on my show last night, and YouTube has already blocked or deleted my show from last night speaking with him.
Yeah, I got a bit of the show last night there, Peter, or Wayne. I got about 15 minutes of it last night. I would like to listen to the rest of it, but I had to do something else. But yeah, it's quite the character and what he's going through, I'll tell you. Folks, if you think he's alone, they're coming after you the same way real soon.
And that was kind of why I wanted to make a point of making his story known, because he didn't really have a large group of people to back him behind this, and that's not safe for somebody in his position. If he's got them nervous enough that they're going to do these kinds of things to him, what stops them from coming after us next if we don't stand up and cover each other's backs and all of this? Because this is a prime example. Those that we believe are there to protect us and keep us safe from that are the ones that are now inflicting that, and this has to be understood.
It does. It almost makes you wonder if we're really in Canada anymore. You know, what happened to the country? When did this really start in society? Well, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, there was a major change in the policing at the RCMP, and it's because of who was appointed as commissioner. And people got to understand that Brenda Leckie is not a good person. If you look at her connections prior to becoming commissioner of the RCMP, it'll speak for itself. She has a very shaded history. Not so much shaded, but her globalist involvement, also the fact that she's related to Bill Monroe, that the circle is very deep and wide, and what she's doing right now for the RCMP, especially with Justin Trudeau, Wayne. I mean, he has there's, I can think of at least right now, three situations where Justin Trudeau should be outright charged with criminal offenses, and he is still walking without paying the piper his due, and that's because of who's running the RCMP. He's got him in their back pocket, and that's a pretty scary situation, wouldn't you say?
Well, it's not just the RCMP. It's every law enforcement agency in the land.
Well, I say the RCMP because they're kind of our figurehead for Canada, but you're right. Go ahead.
That's where we're again, we haven't paid attention, and there are so many different alphabet agencies that are at work in Canada, and we don't understand how they're connected, in what their different roles are, how they've morphed and evolved into different, completely different tasked agencies, and none of them at this point, none of them are really on our side. And it's, they're all interconnected. It's literally a giant web of alphabet agencies, and they're all, where it comes back together and gets a little bit more simple again is when you start to look at who's funding them. That's very similar, usual suspects, but the agencies themselves and what they are and who they are. If Canadians had any idea how many hundreds of millions of dollars are put into turning what used to be the average Canadian into the modern day criminal and terrorist. We haven't changed how we are, but they have radically altered how they label and perceive us based on foreign influence.
Of course, if people knew how many millions of dollars were actually working against the country through these agencies like the Tides Foundation that are funding activists against our oil industry and our fossil fuel industries, it would blow their minds. But most people aren't aware of what's really going on behind the scenes at all, eh? And that's sad. That's very sad. But
And what's even sadder is most of these agencies are getting fat at the trough of our tax dollars. It's our government that is keeping these agencies. It's not just the media. It's not just the media and the police. It's every intelligence agency, every data harvesting organization, every nonprofit, every NGO, every lobbyist group. Yep. They're all doing the same thing, getting their same data and talking points. And people don't understand and can't put it together when Chrystia Freeland goes in front of the United Nations and says the biggest threat facing the world is white nationalist populism, and Canada is in danger of that. That's us she's talking about, by the way, there.
Yeah, we're a threat, Wayne. I know that now, buddy. We are the worst thing that could happen to Canada.
and when they do up these reports, where she, just exactly like the one she was reading from, these come from think tanks that are directly connected. And here, I'll just read off a couple of the organizations that supply their input back and forth to make this happen. We've got University of Waterloo, University of British Columbia, Laval, Ottawa U, Carleton, Western, Concordia, RMC, University of Montreal, Ryerson, Simon Fraser. That's just some of the major universities involved in these think tanks that come together and write white papers on how to properly label us as domestic terrorists. Okay. Sure, and then this goes through organizations like the Mosaic Institute and the Center for the Prevention of Radicalization, and TSAS, and the Institute of Global Issues, the School of Monk Affairs, the University of Toronto. And then that all gets put together, and when they figure out who the bad guys are, us, that goes to Public Safety Canada, Immigration, Refugees and Citizenship, Global Affairs, Correctional Service Canada, the RCMP, Security Intelligence Review Committee, the Canadian Security Intelligence Agency, the DRDC, RDDC, and the Communications Security Establishment Commissioner. That's just a few of them that gets the reports on who are we, the bad guys.
all brought to you courtesy of the CCP. Indirectly, because we hide our tracks very well.
Right? So,
unless you're going down the rabbit holes, you'll never put it all together, because we make it very tough for the common individual to even begin to understand what's really going on behind the scenes.
Right? So. Like, I mean, I just rattled off one part.
I know. Keep going, right? Mate. I love it. Buddy. I love it.
this is where we are so in over our heads in this that. And I think this is the one of the big holdbacks for Canadians, is they realize that we're in way over our head, and they feel that there is nothing they can do. And that is what makes Mr. Sheridan is doing in Rocky Mountain House ever so spectacular, because this man gets it. This Yep. man understands that we still have weapons at our disposal that are not of the static kind. By weapons, I mean law and order, right. And there is some avenues out there, but we are not knowledged or rehearsed in this. And he has just enough of a grip on this to make himself an enemy of the Crown Police. Right? So this is significant in the fact that he is showing people the way. And he gets it in the fact that this is everything that we are standing up against, everything that I just read off to in that last couple of minutes there, is all strings being pulled by the same people that are instituting and implementing this stuff at the municipal level.
Right.
All of this is municipal, based on recommendations from those other string pulling places, but everything that impacts us is being instituted at a municipal level, and this is where we have to get together. This is what we have to figure out and understand and put our energy and effort into standing up and fighting back, and there is ways to do it.
Take back the city council.
Exactly.
We talked about this in the first hour. I talked about this with Kevin, and you know what? Ron Stevens, a really good friend of mine, talks about this all the time because it is the answer. It's the way we can fight back because the government's not listening to us anymore, Wayne. We know that. So what we do, if we can capture the councils, because all the mayors are being driven by the provincial government to implement the globalist agenda. We know that the mayors all belong to councils, and they're all implementing globalist agendas. And the way we stop that is take back control of the council, because anything they bring forward, we can shoot down. And I was talking, I won't talk about it too much, but there is a city or a town up in northern Ontario that Ron was telling me about, that the council now the three of the members are against any globalist agendas being brought forward by the mayor. So anything he's bringing forward, they are shutting down. And it's just driving the mayor crazy because he can't do anything that he's been directed to do. So here's the answer, folks. Get involved in councils. Do it. Go ahead, Wayne. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And this is where we're starting to see some of these smaller communities are starting to step up and say they've had enough as well. But it's starting only in the smallest of communities, because those are the ones that are detached the furthest from the power. Not necessarily from reality, but from the benefits of the power struggle, right? They're the ones that are little kid brother in the shadows that never gets anything anyways. Mm-hmm. So they're the ones that are starting to say, you know, we're not benefiting from this in any way, shape, or form either way, but you're screwing us, right? Right. So this is where it's starting to get a little louder. And you're going to see this escalating as more communities, because I mean, this story and what is happening behind this. This is all living history, folks. And this was exactly what I created my platform to do, was to document and share living history. So, I mean, we do a lot of things that are distinctly Canadian, but when we see legal battles like this, that are taking place, and people are doing it in ways that not everybody knows and understands, but should, this is historic. And this is where we have to get behind this and understand these things. This is the equivalent. I mean, we're at war. We are absolutely at war.
The enemy's in the gates.
Absolutely. And this guy has won a battle. When he walked out of there without having to give them encumbrances, I mean money, and most of his charges just dropped, and the other ones that he will be able to deal with, that was a huge victory. And it's little instances like this that we can duplicate all across the country, and this is the fastest way back to freedom.
Yeah, you know, the country still, you know, this government still has a lot of these people in our country just taking their CERB checks, you know, accepting things the way they are. That CERB program, boy, I'll tell you, that's really worked well for the government, how they've manipulated people to go along with this agenda, still getting their checks. Boy, I love this government. They give me $2,000 to sit home and do nothing every month. I think I'll vote these guys back in again, but what people aren't seeing is what's really happening to our country right now as far as our economy goes, Wayne, and it's only a matter of time here before we start to see real catastrophic results of what's going on with this government, how much money they've spent, how much money they've put us in debt since the start of the so-called scamdemic. We're really going to start to see the effects of that in society, and maybe that's what it's going to take to get Canadians involved. I don't know.
There's a really, really, really big reality check coming, and I'm really not the one to dig into that. That is not the world that I've spent any amount of time in the finances and markets and industry and that whatnot. But I do have some friends that very much are, and pretty much across the board, they're expecting an entire financial collapse the first week in May. And whether they said this was the same thing that we were basically looking at in December, but they managed to get through it. It has to do with deliveries and physical bonds, fractures, all of this stuff that I really don't know much about. Right. But they are taking every dime they've got, and they're picking up gold and silver in small denominations, right? So, I mean, I don't have to understand the language. The behavior tells me what I need to know.
Exactly. Right? Gerald Salenti just did a video that you should listen to, because he's basically saying the same thing that you're saying right now, Wayne, that collapse is inevitable, and it's just when they want to implement it is the question. And I've heard that date a couple times now, so we'll have to sit back and kind of watch. But I have prepared myself a little bit for it, so I'm not going to get completely caught completely with my pants down. Go ahead, buddy.
Well, that's not necessarily the only way to survive it. I mean, this is where human nature and sweat equity, what you need is all of a sudden the value, not the, whatever the paper denomination says it is. And this is where our communities that have been expecting things for a long time, that have been able to create networks of supply to take care of each other's needs, you know, the best that they can. Those places are going to be okay and thrive, or maybe not thrive, but but they'll be the ones that will be able to withstand what's coming. But the people that aren't. They're gonna go to bed one night, and they're gonna have a half a tank of fuel in their truck, and they're gonna get in the news, hear the news the next morning, and think they better go and fuel up, and they're gonna go and try and fuel up, and that tank of fuel is gonna cost them $10,000 to get the last half tank of fuel filled up, and that's the only one they're ever going to get again. This is what is potentially coming.
Imagine the chaos that would create in society, Wayne, overnight. You know, the people that control the money on this planet, they can do whatever they want, and it's a flick of a switch, folks, to turn us upside down. So really, if you think about that for a minute and what they could do with that kind of chaos and what kind of changes they could bring to society in a very, very short period of time that society would accept, because they'd all be freaking out. Can't go get food. There's no gas. Can't turn on the light switch. What are we going to do? And along comes the knight in shiny armor with the answer. Folks, we've got the answer. Don't worry about it. We're going to take care of this for you. But there's going to be a few changes in society. And society would just lap it up, Wayne. What do you think?
They'll say, "Yeah, we can save your bacon here. Just step on just up, get your vaccination and your vax port, and we'll give you everything you need to look after yourself carry on."
Yep, the little chip that we're going to put in your wrist, don't worry about it, because that's how all our banking is going to be done. There is no money left in the world. All your cash is taken care of. This is all digital, folks. So just, you can watch the hockey game, though. It'll be on tonight. So don't worry about nothing.
NHL's playing.
NHL's playing, so all's got to be good, right? I mean, I can't play hockey this year. My young people can't play hockey. Kids got all their hockey taken away from them this year. But the multi-billionaire boys, they get to go on TV and keep us entertained. A little distraction they needed right now, because things are kind of heating up in the old COVID scandal, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
The masters of distraction, we call them.
mine will tell me that no, I'm not allowed to get on the subway today because I swore at my neighbor, and so now I'm banned from public transit for a week.
you were reported, my friend.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's because you need the tracing app, man. You gotta have that. I mean, this government just wants to take care of us so much, it just blows my mind, man. The concerns and the levels they have for our safety and our well-being. The fact that, well, they've only, borrowed, I think it's close to $1 trillion on our economy here in the last, 19 months now? 18 months?
I think
it's up around $1 trillion. I think it's up around $1 trillion now.
1.4 or $1.7 trillion, yes. And
I thought it was just a trillion, man. I must be behind the times here. What's $1 trillion, friends, Wayne? No.
He's basically giving himself pushing through another bill here to give himself another almost $1 trillion worth of borrowing power. Right. So
didn't this guy tell us that the first year in office he was going to have a $10 billion deficit, and the second year of power for the Liberal Party would have a balanced budget? Remember that?
I remember him saying budgets would balance themselves.
Here we have a guy that's spending more money than any prime minister in Canadian history, and everybody's just going, "Hey, everything's fine." But you know what? It's not, because you're right. It's being used to collapse our economy, and it's going to come hard, and it's really going to create chaos in our society, because out of chaos always comes control. And why they don't want us to know history? Well, because history repeats itself. And where we are right now, my friend, we're in 1935 to 1936 Germany with the addition of technology, but everything else is pretty well exactly where they were at that particular time. And we know where that happened and where that went.
Yep. Yeah. It's the cycle is repeating itself. It's just the methods being engaged are different.
Are slightly different. Yeah, but the end result is the same. So why wouldn't you not use it? I mean, it worked before. It'll work again.
Well, the human nature is predictable. Fear works on everybody.
Well, that's all this virus is, Wayne, is fear. That's all it is. And if people can't see that, I don't know. But you know what? I'm walking around my little town and everybody is still wearing a mask, walking down the streets wearing a mask. And I really ask myself some days, have we got a chance of turning this around? I don't know. It seems like people just cannot see the trees for the forest. It only takes a couple hours on the internet to really do some research into what these masks are doing to you, what the efficiency of these masks are, and why are we putting them on our faces? Why are we doing this to society? It's not about the virus at all in any shape or form. It's a lot deeper and a lot more evil than that. And I've avoided being able to put one on so far, so I continue to hope to do that. But it's going to get to a point here soon where they're just going to mandate it, and even our medical restrictions or our exemptions aren't going to be recognized anymore. I see them going that direction already. What do you think is going to happen? When's society going to wake up and say we've had enough? Because they're going to bring out new variants, you know that. There's going to be a third wave and a fourth wave and a fifth wave. That this is never going to go away now, Wayne. You know that, and I know that. Never.
They're so deep into the lie, they can never ever back out, right? So
they're in it for the long. For this is it for them. This is
if they don't, they know they're going to Nuremberg, straight to Nuremberg. So they're playing. They have no choice, really. I mean, they're committed to their crime, whether they got into it initially in the first place because they were useful idiots, or they were greedy, or they got caught with sheep. I don't know, but all of that's going to be irrelevant if they back out now. And this is, you know, I'm finding myself less and less engaged in the mask debate at this point. That's been absolutely redundant for a long time already. My panic and focus right now is the sheer pressure being put on the healthy population to get this experimental cocktail. This is where I am absolutely mortified. I don't need to have any more of those minor debates. When I look at the source of how they're making this happen,
right?
Everything comes down to these fraudulent emergency measures acts. And this is where this web of deceit and corruption goes so deep, as far back as Honey and Barry Sherman and their brand of medicine, and the Ivor one that starts with that. I'm not going to say too much because it'll get you deplatformed everywhere. But mm-hmm. those two things, if they weren't buried, there is no way in the world we would be that COVID would even exist in any conversation. There would be no pandemic. There would be no vaccines. There would be no lockdowns. There would be no masks. There would be no suicides from this stuff. There would be no economic failure. This is all being allowed to happen because we have allowed the suppression of the knowledge about those two medications. Because if there was any kind of cure or treatment available, they would not have been able to self-anoint themselves with all of these powers under these emergency acts.
Yep. Yeah, just the way they brought this vaccine forward is just, it's ludicrous. It's not a vaccine, for one. It doesn't fill the description of a vaccine. It's an experiment. And what we hear from Health Canada every day, this thing is safe, effective, 95% effective. It's been tested. Our source of information, of course, is the World Health Organization. Well, for God's sakes, Wayne, all people have to do is look who's running the World Health Organization, and you'll find out with a little bit of research that it's basically the Communist Chinese Party that are running the World Health Organization. These are the people that are making our test kits for the PCRs. They're making our vaccines. They're making most of our prescription drugs now, and these people are not our friends. So what are we doing, man? We're allowing the fox into the hen house, and the fox is looking after everything that's going on in our society, and the fox is not our friend. What's going to be the end result, Wayne? It's inevitable, isn't it? What's going to happen?
The fox got into the hen house decades ago. The whole pack of them is in there now.
Well, yeah, but just an they are. And you know what? If you know, I love this country, buddy, and I'll tell you, if Canada can't get their poop together, I'm talking about the general public, the people I see walking the streets every day that, you know, they say they love their children, they love their country, they you know, if you ask them if they want the same freedoms for their children that you got to enjoy growing up, and if you told them that they're not going to have that unless they get involved, if we could just get that through to the general population, make them realize what we're up against, we'd see people get involved. But it's really kind of pathetic, all these people walking around with a mask. Well, they're just going to roll up the sleeves for this vaccine. I hear them already talking that they got their date, they're going to get their vaccine. You can tell them stuff till they're blue in the face and they just don't want to hear it, Wayne. It's pretty sad. It really is.
What kills me is this: the number of messages that I get about the aunt, the uncle, the cousin, the niece, the nephew, the daughter, the granddaughter, that are taking these things. A lot of them being coerced or extorted to do this, being told they will lose their jobs if they don't. And they're having horrible reactions, and this is, to me, is just it kills me. It really, really kills me hearing these stories, and they're only going to escalate, and nobody is looking out for the people. There is no recourse on these things. There is no the vaccine companies are immune to prosecution. They've all been given a pass on whatever happens, and you can't undo this junk when it's in your system.
It's there forever.
It's, if you survive, it's there forever. And basically, I'm not a scientist or a doctor, but I've worked in within the DNA industry and marketing healthy medical technology years ago, where some of this identifying information was being used for good stuff, is now being turned into weapons of mass destruction that they can control from a tablet in any remote corner of the jungle on the planet that they want.
Well, Del Beaktree just did a video, and I don't know if you've seen it or not, Wayne. I think I sent it to you, where he has one of the leading pro-vaccine guys in the whole world, has been involved with vaccine rollouts all his life. I don't have his name in front of him, but I've listened to the video 3 times now. And this guy is coming out and screaming at the top of his lungs that what's going on with this vaccine rollout has to come to a stop immediately. And this is a gentleman that is so pro-vaccine, Wayne. If you look at his credentials, all the people he's involved with. I put it up on my timeline, folks. I don't know if the video is still there because YouTube and Facebook has been taking it down, but it's absolutely mind-boggling what this gentleman is telling us about the effects of this vaccine on the human race going forward, folks. You got to do some research into this. You got to look at the other side of the story. You really, really do. And how this thing is being rolled out on us. It's absolute insanity, Wayne. Absolute insanity.
That was an interview. What he was doing was dissecting an interview from Dr. Bosch. And myself and some others spend a great deal of time dissecting that breakdown, that analysis of exactly what he was talking about.
Okay. And
in that interview, and to the point, the very first I've been rebuilding my website. The very first written article on my new layout is about exactly that video. So it was extremely significant. So yeah, if anybody's looking for more on that, you'll find and links to that video on my site as well.
Cool. Hey, you know, Wayne, I'm quite honest. I don't have the ability in my little brain to retain all the information I see in these videos, but I've watched that one I think 3 times now, and I've tried to comprehend everything that's going on. But like I said, that's not one of my strong points. But to say that what they're talking about isn't terrifying would be an understatement. It would be an understatement. But then you've got to realize who we're dealing with, Wayne. We're dealing with people that I call entities from hell, because that's what they are. These people rolling out these eugenic programs on the human race are beyond anything that the normal brain has a hard time comprehending what these people are capable of. But that's who we're dealing with. And there's nothing out of their playbooks. And what they're doing with this experimental vaccine is just, it's mind-blowing. But they're getting away with it. And thousands of people are taking it, Wayne. It's pretty sad.
What I'm seeing, and what makes this all possible, and I've referred to this before as the satanic lullaby. Okay. The whole world is living in this almost multi-dimensional world within this physical world, where we live our daily lives, we can touch the table, we have to cook to eat, but then our entire identity is attached to what happens online in the digital space, right? So you get to these grand wizards of mass destruction that evolve from a video game mindset and rationale, where they come up with these grand delusions, and we are really nothing more than numbers and data and logistics to these people that really have given over their mindset, their critical thinking ability, and through that their souls, basically, to this digital space where they live completely immersed in this avatar reality, which to them is reality, right?
Well, you look at the biggest game now out there is Magic the Gathering, you know, international tournaments. Millions of dollars being paid out for games now. Crazy.
It's like, to me, one of the most staggering reflections of that was the movie Ready Player One. Wow. If that wasn't a foretelling of what we're exactly enduring right now, and I think it's funny because I used to be a giant book and movie buff, because I loved to rebuke the movies based on the books, right? That was my thing. The books were always better than the movies, and I had to make a point of proving why to people. And I started to see this disturbing chain of foretelling in what we were seeing on the screens. And that goes back as far as Star Trek and our first phone. That, to me, was, my heart was pounding when I saw this flip it, right? Like we'd seen in Star Trek in the 70s.
Yeah, the power of subliminals is incredible. And they've been using them for years and years and years.
And then I worked for a corporation that, what they were building and designing, they were doing it because they knew exactly what was going to be in our store shelves 5 years from now. So this was how far behind we are. And this is just in our daily consumable stuff.
Right.
So we have no idea how they have created this, like I said, this avatar life that we're all plugged into. And that, I think, is the biggest difference between the people that have the scales removed from their eyes that don't. We don't, to us that see the reality of it, we aren't, our souls aren't committed to that false perception of what our values and system and everything is about. We're still connected to the real world. We feel the dirt in our feet. We feel the connection in human bonds and relationships.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. What a detriment to the social development of our children under the guise of entertainment. You know, when you can get a 5- and 6-year-old, the first thing they pick up is one of these games, and all they see on the screen coming into their little brains is death and rape and sex and destruction and robbery. Everything that's great in life is being put into their brains when they're 5 and 6 and 7 years old. And then we wonder why our children are turning out the way they are. It's just one of the pieces of the puzzle. Oh, destruction of a child. Go ahead.
Just in the last two, three weeks, Dr. Seuss has been banned, and Wet Ass Pussy is album of the year. And
unbelievable, unbelievable. Right, and then you watch the Grammy Awards. I could only watch it for about 2 minutes, Wayne. Literally, I could only watch it for a couple of minutes because it just absolutely astounds me what is going on. On TV now, it just blows my mind, but it doesn't in the same mouthful, because I know the devil right now is just running wild, buddy, and he is having a heyday.
Well, I put up a post on my Facebook today, and it was like, imagine a world where toddlers right now don't know what it means, don't know what the word friend is. They don't know what a playmate is.
What a tragedy.
This is the world, the future we're setting up, where our children right now are already getting to the point of becoming beings, and they're already missing that from their world. This is what's being ripped apart, ripped out of our society.
It's a tragedy beyond. It just boggles my mind what we're allowing to go on with our children right now, Wayne. It really does. Where are parents? Where are the parents gone in this world? Where is our moral base in society? What has happened to our moral base that made our society what it is? It's completely disappearing. And children right now, with gender dysphoria, with what's going on with isolating them from other children, putting a mask on the child and making them rebreathe their own carbon dioxide, it's just absolute insanity. The fear factor alone, the trauma that's being introduced into these young minds is what it's doing, Wayne, is setting them up to be little robots in the future, that they will question nothing, that they'll be in total fear of anything that's said to them. It is absolutely a tragedy, and that's just the tip of the barrel right now. What's going on with our kids, it's going to take years and years to fix if we stopped it right now, Wayne, if we stopped it right now.
To be blunt, and if I can be frank on this point, I think we have to go back and look at one other movie just for a second, and people will get it or they won't. But now is a time in history where we have to decide whether we want to become a part of the Borg or not.
Mm.
Now, we have to decide now. Right now is this decision. Every person is facing this decision, because if we submit to this experiment, this is a humanity endangering event.
It is the destruction of the family unit as we know it, thus the destruction of our society as we know it. And that's
these
where
vaccines,
we're
these vaccines are the end of our natural species.
It doesn't even, that's just the tip of the barrel, man. It is beyond, you know, we're living in la la land, but it's a reality, unfortunately. We're here. It's right on our face right now, and it really, like I said, Wayne, it really baffles me why a lot of society, just what it is, a lack of intestinal fortitude, the last of testicles, I don't know. But men do not be able to address the dangers that we're in right now in this country. And it's not a joke. It's not, they're not hiding it anymore. it's right in our faces what their agendas are. I mean, Trudeau's come out and said his objective is the Great Reset. Why can't people go look at that for a couple hours and say, hey, this ain't what I want for my children, but that's what's coming right now. And I still seek silence from a lot of Canadians. But the good part is, Wayne, I do see a lot of people starting to actually wake up. So hopefully we can accelerate the movement right now to stop this insanity, because we don't have a generation to fix this right now, my friend. Not even close.
I think there's we've made progress, light years of progress, in the last 6 months. Waking people up and bringing people together. We're still not as organized as we need to be, but there again, we haven't had generations of activism, learning the craft of doing this, fighting this kind of war like the left has had. And they have endless amounts of funding from their side of the narrative.
Right.
And
right.
These are all of the things that we have to struggle and evolve and try and go through. Right. But in the last 6 months, I think that we have made incredible amounts of movement forward, and we are seeing some collaboration and cooperation and people and groups and organizations coming together to become more powerful, to be more effective, to attract more funding, to be able to be unleashed from the shackles of some of those things, and to be able to be more creative and have more success and to get the message out more. So I'm really optimistic. I still believe that this is an amazing time in history to be alive. We have an opportunity to set it right or to surrender to it. So we can buckle and plan our own funeral, or we can say, here, hold my beer and let's do this shit, right? Excuse my French, but
it's okay. There was only one slip today, Wayne. That's not bad. We'll let that go. Beep, beep. We didn't say that.
But this is how we have to look at it.
What a suited word. Suited word.
It's kind of a cowboy thing, right? You're stepping in it all day. Right? You're out in the prairies, right? When people have learned how to adapt to this, and we will improvise and gather together, and we're going to start seeing more and more successes and victories. And this is where I think I've seen a lot of people, tens and tens of thousands of people that have come and gone and have moved on, but they're not gone back to sleep. And everybody knows that something is really, really broken. And as we start to come together and get more organized, some options and choices and thoughts are going to emerge from this that are going to be more impactful and move things along quicker. The tide is turning. The energies are turning. People are being forced, or they're being cornered into having a line in the sand, and I think that this sheer energy that our government is putting into trying to get us to all take these experimental cocktails is working against them, and it's kind of everything they're doing is proving us right. So yeah, keep getting it together, keep working together with different groups, keep pushing forward. There's some great resources on our website as we've been rebuilding and redesigning. That's one of the things that became a priority for us, was to connect people with other value trusted sources of information, because you're not going to find it on social media. The censorship is far too heavy and strong. So we get to collective places. WhatsUpCanada.org is one. Freedom Forum News is another. Get out to some of the events. There's a big one coming in Edmonton, massive one coming in Edmonton on April 3rd. I will be speaking on the microphone that day for the first time in like a year. I generally don't do that, but I'm going to on that particular day. But there's a lot of good stuff happening, just keeping people plugged in to each other and building our communities. Just keeping it tight, get ready for what's coming, because like it or not, it's coming.
Yeah, it's in our face. There is no escaping it. We knew that this was going to come at one point. We've been talking about this for years on radio shows, that there was going to come a time where society was going to be turned upside down and tremendous power grabs will be tried by many governments at many levels, and now we're seeing it. And
watch your time, Barry.
I'm glad to see. Yeah, I know we're down to about 3 minutes here, Wayne. People are waking up, and we really need to put our foot to the floor right now. Wayne, real quick, before I leave, where can people find you?
What'sUpCanada.org and What'sUpCanada everywhere else. As we dance the dance of censorship, whether we're there or not is up to the platforms, but that's all you have to look for is What's Up Canada. And I do want to take a special second to give my endorsement to another big project by TransCanada Films, which we are a part of helping out, which is documenting and is going to capture the history of what has been going on with the rise of the right in Canada. We exist for a reason. They are the cause of what they are calling trouble. We are not trouble. We are real people. We are Canadians, and somebody is going to tell their story, and we're going to do it.
Hey, I love it, Wayne. I really do, because the time is now.
Yep.
We don't have, like I said, a generation to fix the problems we have. We don't have, I believe, 5 or 6 years right now to fix these problems. They have to be fixed now. And I love everything you're doing. So thanks for coming in today, buddy. I really enjoyed talking with you. And we'll get you back here. If you allow us, we'll get you back here in the near future to continue this conversation, my friend.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Barry. It's always a pleasure getting to hang out and chat with you. Anytime again, I'm happy to do it.
Well, I have fun, Wayne, so it's been a fun hour. And it is, and I really enjoy talking with you, my friend, so we will do it again real soon. Well, sounds folks, great. That's a wrap again for this week. I want to thank everybody that's tuned in to give me an ear today and listen to my guest talk. Thanks for joining us, and it's been a very enjoyable show, and I look forward to next week. I'll be back the same time, same place. Thanks again for tuning in. You guys all have a great week. God bless you all. Bye for now.
You're listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.